When the founders stood up to King George, they were told it was impossible. But they won.
That's over the weekend, the new king's breakfast.
I think it's a joke. I looked at the people. They're not representative of this country. And I looked at all the brand new signs paid for, I guess it was paid for by Soros and other radical left lunatics. It looks like it was. We're checking it out. The demonstrations were very small, very ineffective, and the people were whacked out. When you look at those people, those are not representative of the people of our country.
They're going to tear up the crown.
Well, they really showed their ass. How can you bring the entire nation to a cause that makes zero sense?
Why specifically are you out supporting No King's Day?
I think protest is important.
Is there any decision in particular you disagree with?
I would start with, I don't even think it's appropriate for me to have this interview.
Why are you supporting people who are taking away voting rights, who are gerrymandering? Charlie Kirk wanted that, right?
Taking away people's voting rights? Like, Charlie Kirk, all he did was sign people up to vote. He gave so many young people a right to vote.
Young white people, right?
What are you talking about? It's not true at all. Him and Candace Owens were very tight. I don't think at the end they were, but I'm like, Candace was one of his closest friends. What are you talking about? Like, they were trying to get young black men and women signed up to vote. That's just not true.
Don't think so.
So you're just unaware? Like, do you know who Candace Owens is?
Yes.
They have Blexit. That's part of TPUSA. Blexit is all about having young black people part of the conservative movement. So that totally defeats what you just said.
Voter ID is racist, yeah? Like, should you need an ID to vote?
No, I don't think so, no.
Is it racist that CVS asks you for an ID to buy Sudafed?
Well, I think that there are certain people that should not be allowed to buy Sudafed, so I think it's a good idea.
So it's more important that you use an ID to buy Sudafed, but not to vote for the person that runs this country?
I'm not exactly sure.
I'm here because as a country, we've always welcomed the immigrants. And it breaks my heart to see how people are being treated with such cruelty, and instead of obeying the laws that we have in our land.
Beefed up by lies like claiming that you are the majority. You aren't.
And we immigrants, we love this country often more than the people who are born here because we chose to move here. Here's the math that they are scared of. There are more of us than there are of them. We are the majority. Say it with me. We are the majority. They're not loud enough today, Deez. Come on, louder. We are the majority.
In fact, given that roughly 7 million people attended 2,700 rallies nationwide, these Soros Rockefeller globalist parasite-funded events barely scratched 2% of the U.S. population. Now that number has been adjusted to 2 to 3 million. That isn't even 1%. 99% of Americans stayed home. Why is that?
I, Mark Carney, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty, King Charles III, King of Canada, his heirs and successors.
Like the BTK killer, throngs of psychopathic boomers that look like your neighbor left their comfy suburban enclaves, keyed up on psychotropics, Mockingbird media, and big pharma booster shots, descending on America to celebrate their homicidal intent for anyone that disagrees with their propaganda, brainwashed vomiting of anti-American drivel.
You gotta grab a gun! We gotta turn around the guns on this fascist system! These ICE agents gotta get shot and wiped out! The state machinery that's a full display right there has to get wiped out!
Mallory Trump get guillotined or Luigi Mangione?
Guillotine.
That would be so beautiful.
Guillotine.
Can we get a little waterboarding first?
Yeah. we want to watch it just go chop and then the blood to go spurt and the head to fall and roll.
Oh. Guillotine or waterboard?
Guillotine.
Will he shave his head first?
No, I want to. I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
DallasJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have. 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I only got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're all very excited that you are joining us today. A lot happened yesterday when we went off air. We're going to catch you up on, of course, in regards to both Russia-Ukraine's peace talks, as well as John Brennan, possibly the next one in line for a criminal indictment. It looks like it's happening, folks. We're excited that you're joining us today to catch you all up on all things related to that. We have a jam-packed program for you today. As I mentioned, we obviously have a ton of stories we'll be covering. Most importantly, I'll be joined by my very, very good friend Mel Kay later in the show. Mel's going to be joining us to sound off about organ harvesting, the CCP targeting Christians. It's one of the latest stories on Infowars.com right now. She'll be joining us to talk about that. Plus, we'll also be joined by Victor Avila. Victor is also a great friend of mine. He was actually someone who was working over at the border for quite some time, and he got shot by the cartels. And he has been a very public person going out there and speaking out about the cartels, drug violence, and everything that's going on in this country right now. And so Victor is now officially, get this one, it's a mouthful, part of the Office of National Drug Control Policy. He is the Director of External and Legislative Affairs, and he'll be joining us to give us the very latest regarding all of that. So we're excited to have Victor on the show today, and we have a lot to talk about in regards to the war against drugs. Obviously, the Colombian president is threatening President Trump, and he is tied in well with the cartels. And President Trump is also issuing threats to Venezuela. So it's going to be very, very interesting to sit back and watch just that. So we look forward to talking with him very shortly. Also, Fannie Willis is under investigation for possibly using campaign donations to take a vacation. Surprise, surprise. You see, the woman always denies these claims, but it looks to be truthful. And so that's something that we are going to be going over to in just a few moments as well. So a lot to dive into. Let's kick off the show with the first thing up on our agenda. Russia, Ukraine. Now, obviously, as many of you guys know, President Trump was planning to go to Budapest to meet up with Vladimir Putin to begin the peace talks, to end the war. But it looks like that's not possible. U.S.-Russia summit between Putin and President Trump has been postponed. Moscow rejected an immediate Ukrainian ceasefire. Now, that's what's going on right now. There is no ceasefire. They don't want it. Senior White House officials stated no immediate plans for the Trump-Putin meeting, which is very interesting. It's a change of what's been going on, obviously. As you know, President Trump has been gearing up for this. He's been looking to end this war as well. And so I'm sure this is discouraging for the White House, but it's not going to stop them. It's not going to stop them. Also, we have the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, and obviously the Russian foreign minister, who are apparently taking calls back and forth, but they have ruled out officially an in-person meeting as of yet. Trump announced last week that they were going to be meeting in Budapest. Putin remains unwilling to make concessions, demanding Ukraine cede more territory for a ceasefire. So that's what's on the table right now. Now, President Trump also saying that both sides could actually claim that they won this war. He actually made that claim, President Trump, last week. And I know it struck a lot of the mainstream journalists as odd, but folks, it sounds like he is officially looking to just end this war in any way possible. And so that will be very, very interesting to see. And it's not just that. We're also keeping our eye on John Brennan, the ex-CIA director, because this is a good one. Okay. Finally, the Judiciary Committee is doing what it should have been doing a long time ago, and Chairman Jim Jordan has, well, he has turned over a referral for criminal indictment, saying that John Brennan allegedly lied to Congress back in 2023 about the Steele dossier, and he's looking to go after him now. Politico asserts that Trump is pushing Hambody to charge them. And, again, I don't think they're really being pushed. I think it's common sense. If you follow the law, you know that this one's got to be the next one to follow. So it looks like, according to this letter that has been sent over from the chairman's office to Pam Bondi, that they have evidence that former CIA Director John Brennan made false statements on May 11th of 2023 in a transcribed interview. Brennan is obviously denying the CIA's involvement in the Steele dossier. And so that could play a big part in all of this. Now, again, they never want to talk about this. They want to look the other way. They want to ignore all of this and pretend like it's time to move on. It is not. These people need to be held accountable. If he lied in 2023, we'd love to see him be prosecuted for that lie. This is the accountability tour, and it's coming for John Brennan, too. Everyone who is a part of this needs to face this. It's interesting to see it as it develops, too, because obviously Brennan not confirming anything. We don't know exactly what the lie was, but we do know that Brennan falsely claimed in 2017 that HPSCI hearing that the Steele dossier was not used, despite evidence confirming that it in fact was. The main text and the annex of it was used. That's according to several reports. So again, I mean, declassified documents from July 2025 reveal it's what we've already known. We don't have to worry about that. It says that the declassified documents back in July 25 confirmed that the Steele dossier was funded by the Clinton campaign, but we've known about that for quite some time. We didn't need declassified documents for that. We just kind of are catching on and figuring out exactly what the federal government's knowing about this for quite some time. Now, I want to play clip one for you because it's a flashback of John Brennan lying under oath. This was the last time we were able to catch him lying under oath. So take a listen.
Did the CIA rely on it?
No.
Why not?
Because we didn't. It wasn't part of the corpus of intelligence information that we had. It was not in any way used as a basis for the intelligence community assessment that was done. It was not.
Oh, John Brennan, one of the many who are going to be held accountable in all of this. And we look forward to doing just that. Now, we're going to be following and I'm going to be reaching out to my sources to see if the DOJ does plan on following through with that criminal referral. As many of you know, there have been a couple of criminal referrals coughed over. One big one was Andrew Cuomo. And obviously he's running for New York City mayor and he is the only hope that New York City has to not going full on communism. So I don't think they're going to follow through on that one. But we'll keep our eye on this one for sure. I want to turn to something else because this one actually caused quite the stir yesterday on social media. The New York Times is reporting that President Donald Trump is seeking $230 million from the DOJ. This is all in regards to those illegal investigations into the President of the United States. As many of you guys know, he was targeted several times back in 2016 and recently by the DOJ. And they're looking to cough up some cash on this one. Now, the interesting part in all of this is the process involved, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But President Trump was asked if the New York Times report was true in clip two, and this was his response.
Question to you, because the New York Times is reporting that your legal team is seeking $230 million from your own Justice Department now in response to the investigations into you. Is that something you want your legal team to
do? I don't know what the numbers are. I don't even talk to them about it. All I know is that they would owe me a lot of money, but I'm not looking for money. I'd give it to charity or something. I would give it to charity, any money. But look, what they did, they rigged the election. And as you know, we had, in one case, 60 Minutes had to pay us a lot of money. George Slavidopoulos had to pay us a lot of money. And they already paid. You know, they paid me a lot of money because what they did was wrong. And, you know, when somebody does what's wrong. Now, with the country, it's interesting because I'm the one that makes the decision, right? And, you know, that decision would have to go across my desk. And it's awfully strange to make a decision where I'm paying myself. In other words, did you ever have one of those cases where you have to decide how much you're paying yourself in damages? But I was damaged very greatly. And any money that I would get, I would give to charity.
Well, if the president's looking for suggestions for charity, I would recommend the J6ers because they're putting up quite the fight with the DOJ right now to get some compensation. Unfortunately, it's not looking good for them. In the most recent filing that we told you about on this program, Enrique Tarrio and several other Proud Boy members actually requested in a lawsuit about $100 million in damages. Now, if you're wondering why it's such a high number, let's just talk about Tarrio. Tarrio was forced, obviously, and abused in prison. We talked about that. He was sentenced to over 18 years, I believe it was, in prison for a crime he wasn't even there for to commit. And the DOJ, who runs the Bureau of Prisons, while in custody, federal custody, refused to take him to one of his civil lawsuits. Now, this was a lawsuit regarding a church in Washington, D.C. that was accusing Tarrio of taking down a flag, a BLM flag, outside their building. And they sued Tarrio. Now, Tarrio was unable to make it to court because the Bureau of Prisons refused to take him there. That's according to him directly. And as a result of all of that, a judge ruled that Tarrio owed the church $3.2 million. Yeah, that happened. So right now, Tarrio is in debt on top of everything else. So if the president's looking to cough up some donations, I'd recommend maybe he looks at the J6ers because unfortunately the DOJ in court filings just recently asked a judge to dismiss that lawsuit and specifically cited that the DOJ has sovereign immunity towards all claims related to constitutional violations. So that's the battle these guys are facing right now. They've been forced to pay for their own legal fees. This lawsuit's being funded by those men. And obviously they are struggling to find a job because who would want to hire the hundreds of J6ers who had criminal charges filed against them? So if we're looking to make any donations, Mr. President, I'd highly recommend you hand it over to your J6ers, especially people like Tarrio who did not turn you in when the DOJ tried their very best to make them take a bad, bad plea agreement. Now, let's bring it back to what President Trump was just saying there. If his attorneys are seeking $230 million, it's important to note that this would have to go to the Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche's desk. Now, he's the former, obviously, attorney for President Trump, and he'd be the one to decide all of this. Blanche previously defended him in the New York criminal trial, of course, the federal classified documents case as well, and the election interference case. Now, Trump claims that the DOJ owes him a significant amount of money. I would agree. He also called the Mar-a-Lago raid illegal. And who could argue that? Of course it was. Of course it was. So we hope the president could compensate himself. I think that's $230 million. And if he really wants to take off the federal government and not set precedents for others who might end up suing the government on the left, I'd recommend you just give that money over to J6ers so they could call it even. Just a suggestion. But I'm not an attorney. All right, let's turn to another story. Paul Ingrassia was just recently the one who was nominated to run to lead the federal watchdog agency over at the DOJ, but sadly he has withdrawn his nomination. Now, Paul, obviously a patriot, somebody who dearly loves his country, was under an attack by the mass media, and they weren't backing down from it. The rhinos, because they're a bunch of cowards, refused to confirm Paul, and so he had to pull his nomination yesterday. Now, if you're wondering why they don't like Paul, probably because Paul's not a coward. Paul knows where all the bodies are buried when it comes to these deep state hacks. And he's not afraid to call it out. But when they want to discredit you, they use terms like you're anti-Semitic and that you're racist. And they go after your character, even though Paul isn't any of those things. But it wouldn't even matter anyway. It wouldn't even matter anyway. Because it has nothing to do with the job that he was supposed to take on. He was supposed to go after federal government. For those of individuals who were going after Americans who were abusing their power, that was supposed to be his job. None of the other things that they were trying to distract you with. But of course, rhinos, as they always do, don't want a shark in there. And so they refused to confirm Paul. So now Paul had to take down his nomination because he didn't have the votes. Now, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, Thune, was apparently out here saying, oh, Mr. President, you got to withdraw your nomination. We can't confirm him. Why does the Senate think that they have the authority to overdo President Trump's will? If he wants Paul to run this division within the DOJ, why can't he do just that? He's the president of the United States. The American people as a whole elected him to run this country because they wanted accountability. Who do these senators think they are? You know, time and time again, we see it all the time. Matt Gaetz, Ed Martin, now obviously Paul. They are constantly pushed out because the rhinos are too cowardly. They don't want a shark in there. They'd rather have somebody moderate, somebody who won't go out there and completely annihilate the deep state. It's infuriating, folks, that this continues to happen. And I understand why President Trump can't really pick that fight right now. It's the worst time possible considering the government's shut down. and you need those senators to pass your legislation, so you can't really pick that fight. So I don't blame the president. I blame people like Leader Thun, who are a bunch of cowards who are too afraid to stick up for the president's agenda. The president wanted Paul to run that division. Why the heck can he? Because a slander campaign was too tough for you? Folks, this is infuriating that this continues to happen. There's very little that can be done. You heard President Trump say that it would have cost him way too much political capital to push, I think it was Ed Martin, through. Ed Martin, a shark. Ed Martin is still trying his very best to hold these people accountable, but he is not the one who has the ultimate say in a lot of this. But he's pushing, he's trying his very best. And then obviously Matt Gaetz just leaving government altogether. Who could blame him? Who would want to work amongst these people? It's a true battle between good and evil, and these people are evil. And the rhinos within the Senate are continuing to do whatever they can to make sure that President Trump's agenda is not carried out. They're stonewalling, blocking people who would do everything that you voted for. It's infuriating. It truly is infuriating. But it's not surprising. This is what continues to happen all the time in this country. We allow these people to continue to do this to the president. Enough is enough. You don't even have to 100% agree with everything the president's doing. I truly don't care about that. My care really lies in the fact that, what are we doing here? We're months into this administration and very little has been carried out. Very little. And the reason why I think it's so urgent, yeah, I know the rest of you think he's got over 3 years, he could get it done. But the reality of it is dragging people to a criminal prosecution takes time. And God forbid if President Trump does not win, or I guess I could say President Trump doesn't win. That would really piss off the left. But if J.D. Vance or whoever's going to run in 2028 doesn't win, and it's a Democrat who gets back into the White House, they're dropping all the charges against whoever we file charges against. So that's why you have to rush this thing through. We know where all the bodies are. We know what's been done over these last few years. There's been tons of books, even by our FBI director, Cash Patel, that outlines the crimes committed by these individuals. So what are we waiting on? Everyone's afraid. They're afraid. And I don't blame them necessarily, right? Because if there is a Democrat that's elected, chances are they're going to go after them. But is that what's really holding up these rhino senators? Because they played nice with Joe Biden. What happened there? They all got wrapped up into Arctic Frost. They all got their phone records pulled. So what point do you realize that you have to flush out the entire system in order to rebuild? It's just so infuriating, and someone like Paul would have been great for that position. We look forward to potentially having Paul on the show so we could hear from him directly, because I have a really bad feeling. I mean, this guy, for as young as he is, actually, he's only 30, which is pretty impressive. He's really made his impression on Washington, D.C. Racist text messages. That's what they always throw your way when they want to discredit you and push you out of a position. They take these text messages out of context, and they say, oh, look, he's unqualified. Imagine if we sifted through everyone's private messages and decided if you were qualified based on your personal conversations. It's just sickening, and it's an endless problem that's continuing to go on in this country. And sadly, President Trump really isn't in the position to call it out right now because our government is shut down. Speaking of government shutdowns, President Trump isn't afraid to call out everyone, right? So he's going after Chuck Schumer. And as you and I both know, Chuck Schumer's an idiot, but most importantly, he's being held hostage by the far left within his own party. Take a listen to clip 3 on how President Trump describes the bit of the conflict that Chuck Schumer's in right now with members of his own party. Take a listen.
But he would be, I would say he would be the leader of the party. It's not Schumer. Schumer's shot. He's shot. This poor guy, I feel sorry for him. I don't know him for a long time, but he's I think he's mentally gone. He's been beat up by young, radical lunatics. And I think Chuck Schumer is, he's gonzo. I really do. I think he's probably not going to run. It shows that he's losing in every poll. Now, this is hard. You know, he wants to meet with me. It's sort of hard to meet with a guy after I make a statement like that, but I'm just giving the facts. I think Chuck is probably finished. I know some people, Democrats, that would be good. Some good politicians and some, you know, reasonable people. But I understand that they would not have a chance of, you know, getting even the concept of holding the torch. They're not going to get it. But they have some people that I really believe they're low IQ people. They're stupid people. And they seem to be leading the party.
It's true. They are low IQ people, and they are people who are leading the party right now. Take a look at just the mainstream media, who they're platforming these days. It's the AOCs, the Ilhan Omars, the Rashida Tlaibs, the Jasmine Crocketts. Low IQ people who race bait, and that is their only way of trying to get people out to vote. Not good ideas or good policies, but going out there and renewing the policies that are ones of communists and trying to make them work here in the United States. These people are low IQ, and that is the best way to describe them. When you hear them open their mouths, nothing comes out that's productive or intelligent, and that's why they're being promoted to the very top, because they are mouthpieces for those running the show behind the scenes, and they will take whatever order they can because they don't want to get away from their power, their authority. They're the ones who are spewing hatred in this country, not those on the right, and they know it. You see, Chuck Schumer at one point was a logical man, but obviously based on the fact that he is still holding this government hostage, we can all say with confidence that this man is probably battling behind the scenes, because this woman, AOC, that you saw on your screen right there, she's a horrible person, but guess what? They're platforming her. They're trying to push her up to the top of the party. Now, for those of you at home who are like, oh, that's probably a good thing, because then those that are moderates within the Democratic Party will have to start voting Republican. But do we really want to see our country go full communist on the other side of the aisle? I mean, they're already there. We're not going to deny that. But do we really want them to be able to take over the party? That's a question that all Americans need to ask. We have a very serious communism problem in this country, and very few are willing to call it out. We'll talk about it later in the show as well in regards to New York City. But there is a massive, massive issue with communists rising to the tops of the Democratic Party. And it's being funded, of course, by countries that hate us. Because they would love to see the United States of America fail. So that's what's going on right now behind the scenes. Chuck Schumer really being held hostage by his own. I think we've just entered the second longest government shutdown in American history. And they really don't care about negotiating. They have no will, no power really at this point to bring anything to the table. They don't even want to come to an agreement with the president. It's either illegals or nothing at all. So they're holding this country hostage because, well, their illegal aliens need health care. Their illegal aliens need benefits because they want to keep them in the country. They probably saw the numbers that 1.6 million illegals voluntarily deported themselves so far since President Trump took over the White House. And that doesn't make them happy, because where are those 1.6 million people going? They're leaving the country. Those are their future voters. They suddenly have realized that nothing here is free under this administration. And if they have to work, they might as well just get out of here. In fact, taking free flights out of the country, because they know when they're caught, they're getting deported. But most importantly, they know the free ride's over. We'll also be covering the raids later in the show that have been going on, especially in New York City. I have reached out for comment on that from DHS, because the ones in New York City are massive because, well, there's a huge human trafficking issue in New York City that needs to be tackled. And I'll bring you the details on that. That was what Canal Street looked like yesterday during a raid. And if you haven't been to Canal Street ever in your life, well, you're a very lucky person who probably lives on the safe side of things. But me, I'm a dangerous woman. And so I like to go to dangerous places. And I'll tell you a little story about Canal Street when we get back. But folks, we got a jam-packed program for you today. So don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, because colostrum is back in stock. Buy one tub and you get 50% off another supplement while supplies last over at the alexjonesstore.com. Now, as many of you guys know, colostrum is great for your immunity. It also helps slamming down antibacteria, antiviral, and anti-inflammatory barriers. So this is something you're going to want to snag at the shop. We have just restocked on this. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. And remember, whatever you guys purchase over at the alexjonesstore.com helps us plan for our next operation, helps fund it. So head on over there today and keep us up and running. We'll be right back with more.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes five, six times when I'm talking to him, please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we could clean up San Francisco and L.A. anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, 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 ha. And as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, ah! And they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people, and all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it. They believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're going to focus on the good that's going on right now in this country. I know a lot of people like to focus on all the negatives, but I want to be a little optimistic. I don't want to blackpill you early in the morning. And so let's focus on the good that this administration is doing right now. Deportations are up, and although it's not our ideal numbers, they're definitely working with a limited amount of resources, and so far things actually look good. Yesterday, DHS released new information regarding the number of deportations, and so far, 1.6 million illegals have self-deported themselves, and 400,000 plus have been deported by ICE agents. Now, that is a very important number for you at home to understand, so we're a little over 2 million when you do the math, which is a good start. It's a good start. I don't know if we're by Barack Obama numbers at this point. Barack Obama obviously being the massive deporter. So it would be a dream to hit Barack Obama numbers and surpass those, of course. But interesting enough, the Trump administration also has now fined $9.6 billion to illegal aliens who have not self-deported. Over 31,000 of them are dealing with fine notices. They've been sent directly to illegal. That's according to Breitbart, who ran this exclusive story for you guys yesterday. So this is good news. Although I'm assuming that these illegal aliens who are being fined nearly $10 billion, won't be able to cough up the change anytime soon, it at least will maybe possibly keep them out of the country, given the fact that if they try to come back, they do owe us debts. And so maybe that could be a way to deter them from coming back. I don't know. I'm no great legal mind, of course. But I think that this is a positive move in the right direction. DHS is doing their very best, and I could promise you this, because a lot of our friends who were on the outside are now on the inside. And trust me, mass deportations is what they are going for. And these are people who I highly trust. I've been friends with them for years. And they are leading behind the scenes and trying their very best to get these people out of our country. So there's a lot to look forward to on that kind of angle of all of this. But when in regards to ICE agents, let me just remind you folks, it's a government shutdown. And although they will get paid on the end of this when this finally wraps up, right now ICE agents are putting their lives at risk and they don't receive a paycheck. And that's what's going on right now in this country. Yesterday, you may have heard that federal officers in Los Angeles fired shots during an arrest attempt on a legal alien on Tuesday, injuring both the illegal and a U.S. marshal. The shooting occurred during a targeted traffic enforcement stop described as a standard law enforcement procedure by DHS. Now, the illegal alien, according to this report, had previously escaped custody and allegedly rammed a law enforcement vehicle with his own in an attempt to flee. Now, again, we don't know exactly what the status is in regarding that federal agent who was shot. We do have some helicopter footage, though, of the shooting itself. This has been very interesting to sit back and watch, though, folks. We talk about it all the time. You know, these officers, these agents, their lives are at risk every day because these far-left terrorists are both helping illegal aliens, and they're also purging the worst of the worst. Yesterday, I gave you the latest numbers. I believe these people were just recently arrested over the last few hours before I released it. But I showed you the images, the mugshots of four convicted sex offenders, those who are going after children. That's who ICE is targeting. In fact, over 70% of the arrests that they've made thus far are people with prior convictions or pending charges. So when I tell you that DHS is going after the worst of the worst, it's not just me trying to regurgitate the talking points from the administration. These are people who are disgusting human beings, and I'm constantly going through the list. I get them daily of those who are being arrested by ICE. And folks, they are horrible monsters, barbarians that they are arresting and trying to get out of this country. Now, I broke the story to you exclusively. Joe Biden and whoever was operating the White House at the time were allowing illegal aliens who were convicted pedophiles in other countries to come into our country. I know this because I got my hands on the documents after I sued TSA. They were using their sexual predator, whatever documents they may have had, to somehow prove who they were. And then our government handed them over a form that made them promise they would take these reforming courses as if you could change a sex predator. They also made them promise they'd register as a sex offender within a certain time frame. And then those documents were used to allow them to board on commercial flights. While you have to get your real ID, they were able to board without a problem based on these papers, proving that they were predators. So President Trump is now having the task of purging this filth from our society. And it's a tough one. Because although they've allocated money to rebuild up the courts so they could bring on more judges to flush out the filth, I mean, I remember I was one of the main people sitting there asking Speaker Johnson's office, what's going on with that? Are we putting funding aside to build up the courts? And magically it appeared. Folks, this is a top priority. Now is the time to purge them out. Democrats intentionally flooded our country with illegal aliens because they knew we weren't going to be able to get them all out. And in fact, again, I exclusively reported for you that the Biden administration didn't want to fix security cameras on the border because they didn't want to know how many people were actually breaking into our country illegally. So those who came in and were caught, we know who they are. But then the millions who we just didn't really care to check their IDs or check to see who they were, well, they were allowed in. It's criminal what happened under that administration. It truly, truly is criminal. Now, the problem with these raids is these protesters, and I wouldn't even call them protesters. Let's focus on the new word for them, terrorists. Okay, because we could sit here and protest all we want. Peaceful protesting is completely fine. That is legal in this country. I don't have to agree with your cause, but I agree that you have a right to protest. But we're not talking about protesters here. We're talking about people who are stalking ICE agents. In fact, folks, I want to tell you this. Just last week, one of my incredible producers, researchers, actually stumbled upon the doxing of hundreds of DHS, ICE, and FBI employees. Now, we didn't want to report it because we didn't want people looking for the information. But after reaching out for comment, suddenly that has now been taken down. You see, they are putting their lives on the line, and you don't have to love this administration, but the people who are working, the people who are just truly in this to purge the filth from this country, their lives are at risk, and they don't make a lot of money. Not nearly as much as they should be making, I should say. They're being hunted down by the left. Take a listen to clip 8, because this one actually highlights the protesters who are being unmasked during these arrests that are being made by ICE. Take a listen.
Is running. Now again, this person, we've been watching this person. He has been pushing ICE agents and police, and people have been defending him. There's another woman right in front. She was also pushing some of these officers. Whether they know someone who was arrested by police for being undocumented is unclear. Again, we're trying to figure out how many arrests there actually were that were undocumented immigrants as opposed to protesters. At this point, these are protesters who are being arrested.
Yeah, you better take off their masks. I'm done with these cowards covering their faces so you don't know who they are. Listen, if you want to protest something, show your face. I have no problem protesting something and showing my face. But there's a reason why they don't want to show you their face, and that's because they know they're not just peacefully protesting. You see, if they were, they would show it. But they are trying their very best to go after ICE agents, and ICE agents are now a target. We've seen it time and time again in Dallas. They have tried to open fire, and thankfully, they didn't kill any ICE agents. But sadly, they killed 3 illegals. Now, again, nothing warrants them being killed. They shouldn't be killed, of course. They should be dragged out of the country. But this is the story that you're seeing on your screen right now. Now, I didn't want to report this when it was happening because I wanted to make sure that these agents, all of them had their information taken down before we told you about it. So that is considered to be an exclusive at this point. We saw it. We were probably one of the first people to see it. DHS thanking us for that. And we are just thankful that they're okay. Listen, there's no excuse for this. You could disagree with people, but you definitely don't put their personal information out there for these crazy left-wing hacks to go out there and kill them. Now, the raids that have been going on all across the country have been great to sit back and watch. Raids happening in Chicago as well. Huge raids going on in New York. And I want to sit here and kind of hover over this story a little bit. Because in New York City, in Canal Street, there were dozens of federal agents who were making arrests. Now, Canal Street's an interesting street. Let me explain to you why. I was about 19 years old when I was walking up and down Canal Street. A New Yorker, obviously, so this is normal for us. But I had never experienced Canal Street. And if you're a girl, you love designer stuff, but you're 19, you're broke, you don't have the money to pay for it. And so my friends were like, let's just go to Canal Street and go buy some stuff. So obviously it's counterfeit, and I never understood what the exact, the kind of dangers related to counterfeit products were. But we went there just to kind of look around and see things through. And Canal Street's a very dangerous area, okay? So understand this. You're walking down Canal Street, you see a shop that you want to go into. So you walk in. Suddenly there's alarms that go off, and these alarms are being rung because they've spotted law enforcement. Usually it's the NYPD because it's illegal to sell counterfeit products. So what happened was when we were in the shop, we were so stupid when we were growing up. I don't know how we survived. But they immediately shut the door, and it's a garage door, so it just slams shut, and you're stuck in now this little building. Now, thankfully, these weren't human traffickers. That was the first thing my mind went to, and we had no weapons on us to defend ourselves, and it could have been really bad. But this is what goes on in Canal Street. They have a bunch of hidden rooms. They will actually, and I stopped a couple of times because they would take you in, and they tell you to go through a narrow hallway to go through a door to go find something that you might like. And even though I was 19 and pretty dumb, I wasn't that stupid. So I didn't go through the narrow hallways, although I had friends who told me I was overreacting. Apparently I was way ahead of my time, but they did. They were fine. But I can't imagine the type of women that they've, or children that they've actually trafficked to this area. Because keep in mind, there's a bunch of massage places located up and down the streets. And they're sketchy massage places. They're not real massage places. That's where all the human trafficking takes place, sadly, amongst the sex trafficking victims that are brought into this country. So throughout Canal Street, there's definitely a lot of things that I would say are deeply alarming that need to be looked at. Now, it's not just Canal Street. It's also Jackson Heights in Queens, New York. AOC's district. If you haven't gone there yet, I would tell you not to go there. Queens would be my favorite hangout back in the day when I was in my early 20s, and it's sadly not the same place anymore. And we're not talking about like 2 decades ago. I'm literally talking about 8 years ago was probably the last time I went over there. It's completely different. It's been taken over by illegal aliens, but most importantly, women are, and they call them prostitutes. I don't think they're prostitutes. I think they're being held up against their will, but they're walking around the streets. They're largely Asian. They're also Hispanic. They could barely speak English. The New York Post has done incredible work on exposing this under the Biden regime. And these young women are just walking up and down the street trying to solicit men for sex. Now, it's what one could assume is that they're not legally here in the United States because they could barely speak English. And what kind of woman would want to put themselves in that situation? But sadly, the NYPD hasn't really done much to go after them. In fact, Madani wants to legalize sex work, but that's not people who, when he's talking about that, he's not talking about the people who are voluntarily submitting themselves to that type of line of work. It's people who are being held against their will, being charged by the cartels, the Chinese gangs, all of them are putting these women out there, putting their lives at risk. So more of these need to take place. I just fear for their safety. Because as you could see, quickly the crowds come after these people. And it's definitely a very scary situation for those federal agents. But again, this is what's going on in New York City. New York City has a massive human trafficking issue. And all of those back rooms in Canal Street, I can only imagine what's going on behind closed doors. Those massage parlors, the women who are walking around Queens, New York, specifically Jackson Heights, I fear for them. Most of them, if they were just to talk to law enforcement, I'm sure would out the fact that they've been trafficked into this country. And it's an absolute embarrassment that men pay for that. Most of those women are probably just numb at this point. But it's devastating. That's what's happening right now. So when I tell you what these ICE agents are doing is truly amazing and necessary, I really mean it. I truly mean it. Homeland Security investigations have also led to more individuals being rescued in Arizona. Specifically, an Arizona man was recently arrested for allegedly sex trafficking children and producing child sexual abuse. Casey Goslin, 46 years old. Oh, this is gross. Apparently, he was a youth group leader. He's now accused of child sex trafficking and producing sexually abusive materials via Philippine traffickers. According to those who have been investigating him, he live streamed children being sexually abused, facilitated the sex trafficking as well. So he was just recently arrested and didn't end there, Northeast Ohio. Again, this isn't happening in big cities. I was actually shocked to find out when I was in Missouri that the area I was in was actually a hub for human trafficking. So you don't think about that. You don't think about that. Northeast Ohio, there was a sex sting, 13 men arrested, 9 potential human trafficking victims identified. Again, that's Northeast Ohio. So yes, this is a major issue that's worth your time, worth your focus, worth your attention. Thousands. And we're still missing those 300,000 children. They've been shuffled into the sex trafficking world, and it's devastating. We need to do more to go after the men, those who are paying for these services. Essentially, it's rape, so there's no other way to talk about it. I wouldn't even say it's services. I think that's degrading for the women who are and the children who are being abused. So it's a heavy topic for the morning, guys, but it's just something that we need to really focus on. And sadly, things aren't looking good for New York City right now. As many of you guys know, there's a communist running for New York City mayor, and he's very likely going to be winning. Zohran Mahdani is his name. He is obviously Muslim. We told you on this show, he has been the pick, the person that they were looking to rise to the top to take over New York City for a very long time. I'm actually deeply concerned as well, because if elected, he might actually have access to the NYPD's counterterrorism unit, also all their information that they've gathered over the years. This is someone who's a foreigner. This is someone who does not believe in the same things you and I believe in. This is someone who sympathizes with terrorists, takes photos smiling with them. So this is deeply, deeply concerning. Curtis Sliwal is the Republican nominee. Now, again, Curtis has no chance of winning based on the polling number, based on the fact that he's lost previously to Eric Adams, who I would say is a moderate compared to Mahdani. He lost in a landslide. But now there's calls for him to drop out of the race because they believe it would give Andrew Cuomo the bump that he needs to take the win potentially. If Curtis does drop out, it looks like based on the latest polling data, Andrew Cuomo is only about 4 points behind Mahdani, but that's not enough. President Trump in clip 4 weighed in on this. Take a listen.
Mr. President, a new poll shows that if Curtis Sliwa dropped out of the New York mayoral race, then Andrew Cuomo would only trail Mamdani by 4 points. Would you call Curtis Sliwa to drop out of the race so that can happen?
Well, I looked at the polls, and looks like we're going to have a communist as the mayor of New York. It'll be very interesting. But here's the good news. He's got to go through the White House. Everything goes through the White House, at least this White House it does. And we'll have to see what happens. But if he dropped out, he's not going to win. And not looking too good for Cuomo either. But maybe, I don't know, if he dropped out, maybe Cuomo would have a little bit of a chance, but not much. Because it looks like the lead is, it's not a great lead, but it's big enough that he should be able to win. So, you know, I don't know that I want to get involved. It's really a question of, would I rather have a Democrat or a communist? And I would rather have a Democrat than a communist.
Will you
speak
to
Mamdani
if he wins?
Yeah, I'll speak to him.
I just have an obligation
to speak to him. But, look, I love New York. I've always loved New York. I just can't believe a thing like this is happening. I left New York, and we had a mayor, de Blasio, who was a disaster. But when I left, it was sort of before he could really take hold. And, boy, New York was a hot city, and now it's sad to see what's happening, frankly.
It is sad to see what's happening in New York City because it's about to be a communist takeover. One of the largest cities in the world is about to be run by a communist Muslim, and it's not looking good for us, folks, especially if you look over what happened in the UK and London. They are capturing some of the biggest cities in the world, and they are using our election process against us. And it's all a part of the plan. As many of you guys know, we played the clip here for you on our show. Steven Crowder's Mug Club Undercover did speak with a member of Madani's campaign who said this has been the work since 2014. So when I tell you that they have done this, they have thought this through, they have came up with a plan and have been able to successfully carry it through, I truly, truly mean that. And it's devastating to sit back and watch. Right now we have a communist Islamic takeover of the United States, and it's focused right now on its first major efforts in New York City, and we're watching it all across our country. And it's devastating. It's devastating. You know, it's so bad because Congressman Dan Goldman is refusing to endorse Mamdani. Now, if you know Dan Goldman, you know he's not a very good person. He is a New York City congressman, a child with a silver spoon in his mouth who has a very questionable stock portfolio, of course. But he's not been very kind to those on the right. But even he is looking at Mamdani and saying, this might not be the guy for us. And he's deeply concerned. In clip five, you'll hear how Goldman reacts when CNN tries to get him to endorse Mamdani. Take a listen.
You're a New Yorker. You have yet to endorse Zohra Mamdani for mayor. Are you ready to endorse him?
You know, I've had conversations with him. I'm not ready to endorse him.
Are you going to vote for him?
I don't know what I'm going to do, to be honest.
You going to vote for Cuomo?
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't gotten to that point. I've been trying to work through these issues. You know, I'm a Democrat at heart, and I believe in the Democratic Party. I am very concerned about some of the rhetoric coming from Zohran Mamdani, and I can tell you, as a Jew in New York who was in Israel on October 7th, I and many other people are legitimately scared because there has been violence in the name of anti-Israel and anti-Zionism.
So what's going on right now is I don't think Dan Goldman is being truthful with you. As many of you guys know, he's a very wealthy man, and I don't know if it's so much the Jew thing. It could be the reason why he's very fearful of Mamdani, but I also think it's the fact that he's going to be taxing the wealthy at a very high percentage. So Goldman obviously can't come clean on that front in front of his Democrats, of course. But yeah, I mean, how do you back a candidate like this? He's an absolute nightmare, and it's absolutely horrifying to think that this guy might be running New York City very soon. Never had a real job, has completely been groomed for this role, and here he is about to run one of the biggest cities in our country. It's actually really depressing when you think about it. Speaking of depressing, let's turn to Hunter Biden, because Hunter Biden is officially breaking his silence in regards to his pardon. He's claiming that his father only pardoned him because, well, Donald Trump reclaimed the presidency in 2024, saying this, that his father wouldn't have provided him that pardon under normal circumstances, but he had to because, quote, Donald Trump went and changed everything. That's what he told Tommy Christopher, who's a Substack journalist. He goes on to say, and I don't think that I need to make something much of any argument about why it changed everything. So Hunter Biden was fearful that President Trump was going to go after him for the crimes he actually committed. That's what that tells you, because it was a blanket immunity. Actually, most people who read through the pardon were like, wait a minute. He just has this insane amount of a period of time where he could just get pardoned from. And let's not forget that Hunter Biden could have been prosecuted by Republican AGs. In fact, Marco Polo outlining what Republican AGs could charge him with and go after him with and investigate him for. But Republican AGs refusing to do just that. Isn't it funny when they don't do that? Isn't it so funny when Republicans refuse to go after actual criminals? It's infuriating, folks. So Hunter Biden saying that's, he was only pardoned by daddy because, well, he wasn't sure if President Trump was going to go after him. My dad would have not pardoned me if President Trump had not won. And the reason that he would have not pardoned me is because I was certain that in a normal circumstance of appeals, I would have won. Isn't that interesting? Also, it's worth noting that Hunter Biden's claiming he's broke these days and can't pay his legal fees. And he was going after people like Marco Polo founder Garrett Ziegler, but had to suddenly drop that lawsuit against Ziegler. See, this man had no problem using lawfare to go after people. I believe he even did it to Rudy Giuliani as well. He wanted to silence those who were criticizing him and exposing his family's corruption. He did so by just that, by trying his very best to silence them. Suing them, going after them, and now he has a big issue with lawfare, but fails to acknowledge his own lawfare that he's been participating in for quite some time now. Folks, we have more to unpack in just a few moments, especially when we head into the second hour. I'm going to be joined by Victor Avila in just a few moments. Victor is now working over with the administration, and he's got quite the new role. He is someone who I highly respect and appreciate having on my podcast quite often, so I think you're really going to enjoy our discussion. Also, Anthony Cabasas is going to be joining the program, too, in just a few moments. He's worked on an exclusive story regarding how the Trump administration is drumming up to go after those far left-wing terrorists. So you guys are going to want to see this third hour, the second hour of the show. Then the third hour, we also have Mel Kay joining us, and we have a ton of stories we're also diving into there that we haven't even gotten into. Like Jen Psaki, for some reason, going out there and saying that she's worried about J.D. Vance's wife. Mind your own business, lady. I'll tell you about that in a little bit as well. Fannie Willis is also investigating by the DOJ. And in the meantime, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now, because folks, colostrum is back. I know many of you guys were asking about this, and it is back. And when you buy one tub of colostrum, well, you get 50% off another supplement while supplies last. So head on over to the Alex Jones store right this second to snag yourself some colostrum.
The American spirit is the fire of freedom, ignited by the Founding Fathers' fearless words on the printing press, carried by Paul Revere's midnight ride to warn of tyranny's approach. It's the courage of the Alamo, where men and women stood against impossible odds for a better tomorrow. It's the resolve of a nation daring to dream beyond the stars. InfoWars is that spirit reborn. We are the lighthouse, shining truth on the hidden rocks of corruption, foreign and domestic. We challenge power, expose lies.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
And arm we the people with knowledge to forge their own path. This is the fight for freedom. InfoWars is you, me, and every patriot who dares to seek the truth. Join us. Stand tall. For when the stakes are this high, truth is our greatest weapon. InfoWars is America.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Welcome back to the American Journal. Warming you up for the second half of the show, the second hour, I should say. And we're glad that you're all joining us today. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It's been a crazy one. Lots going on all around the world. Like I kind of warmed you up in the last hour, we're going to have Victor Avila on the show today. Victor is, first off, a good friend, obviously. He's been a friend of my podcast for quite some time. It's an honor to have him on. Previously, he was a special agent over at HSI, and ICE, of course. He's retired now, but he's someone who understands the cartel threat because he was shot by the cartels. His story itself is an incredible story about how he has been so resilient over the years, and he still continues to pick these fights with the cartels because, folks, he understands the danger, and he is a complete fighter, so it's an honor to have him on the show in just a few moments. We'll also be joined by Anthony Cabasas, because Anthony's got a story exclusive about how the Trump administration looks like it's preparing to go to war with these terrorists, these domestic terrorists, these people who have are actively plotting, and we see it all the time on social media, to go after our country. And so Anthony's got a really bombshell exclusive that he'll be joining us with in just a few moments. So we look forward to for that, at least. But a lot happening all around the country, a lot happening all around the world. We're going to be covering what's going on in Dublin, too, later on in the show, because the protests in Dublin are worth your attention. It has everything to do with the migrants that they've brought into their country and how they've been sexually abusing children. There's just a recent story of a 10-year-old who was allegedly raped by a 26-year-old migrant, someone who was told that he was supposed to get out of the country, never left the country, and was unable to actually speak at his trial or at the beginning of his trial to hear his charges he's facing because, well, he doesn't speak the language. And as a result of that, he had to have an Arabic interpreter. Now, of course, what they always do is they won't give you their name. They won't tell you their country of origin. We just believe that he is from the Africa region, so we don't know specifically where. But, you know, people in Dublin have had enough. They've had enough. And we're going to be talking about that, plus obviously the great reporters over at Rebel News. Ezra has been on the ground. He was actually just there yesterday, and he's been covering this. So we're going to play a little snippet of the work that he's been doing. He just recently left, but he was there yesterday on the ground. He actually got mazed by police. It's one of those crazy circumstances. But Ezra is always in the heat of it all, so we look forward to talking to him. And we got a jam-packed program for you, like I mentioned also as well. The left is just so ridiculous. Not only is people like KGP, we talked about yesterday on the show, going around and plugging her book and trying to sell you on the fact that she's the first black lesbian to be White House press secretary, but she's also trying to sell you on a bunch of lies in regards to Joe Biden. And it's strange because the mainstream media is not even buying it anymore. They're actually calling her out. We played some of it yesterday, but it's getting even worse for her as she makes her little book tour. So we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. Plus, there was a woman who was just simply walking down the streets in Chicago when she was assaulted by a man. The video itself is infuriating because when you see the aftermath of her face and what happened to her, and then you hear his criminal history, it will make your blood boil. This is what's going on right now in our country. She obviously did nothing, it looks like, to provoke this incident. This man that you see on your screen allegedly has a history of just going around beating up women. We'll talk about that because, folks, it's something the mainstream media won't cover. I was watching NBC News last night, too. And I do this so you don't have to do this at home, so I could help you kind of understand what the spin's going to be, because it's usually a great scale to figure that part out. But as I was watching NBC News yesterday, I was quite floored because I didn't understand why they were specifically only covering race baiting stories. It's not 2020. It feels like it's 2020 based on their coverage. But they were doing their very best to call out an officer who was on trial for killing a woman, obviously drumming up the race part in all of this. But they never show you the videos like that. And I bet you we have more of those than they do on the other side of things. But they only highlight a select few stories. And again, it's meant to divide us. It's meant to torture Americans into this race-baiting war that they really want so badly. But we need to be able to push back on that. And the reality of it is they find and they nitpick these one or two stories and they put them on the national level. And it's meant to divide us. So we'll be talking about that later in the show as well. So we've got a lot to dive into. Don't go anywhere. If you haven't done so already, folks,
As many of you guys know, they might lock the doors on us any day now over here at InfoWars, but we're ready to start our next operation. So stay in touch with us. Head on over to the alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. It's how you stay in touch with us throughout whatever our next venture is. So head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Stay in the know. We'll be right back.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesapp.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
That you're all joining us today on this beautiful Tuesday morning. All right, a lot to kick off in the second hour of the show, so we're excited that you're all joining us today. And I'm excited for our next guest because he's got a lot to talk about. Victor Avila is joining the show today, and he's going to be with us in just a moment. But there's a lot that we're going to discuss here because, well, we showed you this story earlier in the week. We showed you this video specifically, and we had the journalist who brought you this video on air. Kevin Dahlgreen was the one who is dealing with the homeless issue in Portland right now. He's covering it. He's trying his very best to help these people. But sadly, so many are fatally overdosing all fentanyl on the streets. On Sunday, he was just simply doing his normal coverage when he came across a man who was frozen in the streets. This is Kevin you see on your screen, and the man behind you sadly passed away from what appears to be fentanyl. Now, Kevin's covering it, and he's telling you about the man and how people just keep walking by because it's a normal situation to see a homeless man on the streets. But when Kevin looked a little bit closer, he realized the man was frozen and he was clinging on to what looked like to be aluminum foil. We have since learned that the man, so far we think he passed away from fentanyl. It hasn't 100% been confirmed, obviously, but all the clear indicators say fentanyl at this point. We blurred out his face because we don't know if the family's been notified as of yet, but there are so many people living on the streets of Portland struggling with drug addiction. And very few want to take on this issue, but President Trump has made it one of his main priorities to go after those countries that are bringing fentanyl into our country and looking to kill thousands of Americans. President Trump also tweeting out this. I was so thrilled to see this on Truth Social. He has officially declared war against the countries that have been bringing these drugs into our country. And it's interesting because he calls out the president of Colombia, who has been allowing the cartels to mass produce the drugs in his country. Now, of course, a lot of these elements to these drugs are being shipped in from the countries that hate us. And if you didn't know, we actually subsidize Colombia in hopes that they would stop all of this, but it's not working. So President Trump is cutting off those subsidies. And we're going to play for you the reaction of the Colombian president because President Petro is not very happy about this in clip 12. Take a listen.
Su misión no es cambiar a Trump.
No.
Su misión es buscar la mejor negociación posible para los millones de colombianos que dependen de esos empleos.
La humanidad tiene una primera salida y es cambiar a Trump. De diversas maneras. Puede ser por el mismo Trump. La más fácil. Si no, sácala a Trump.
Sounds like a threat to me. Joining us to discuss is Victor Avila. Victor is with the Office of National Drug Control and Policy. He is a Director of External and Legislative Affairs. It is a very long title, but he has earned it. He is also a former retired, I should say, HSI ICE agent, and he's with us now. Victor, it's great to have you on the show. You've been a very busy man, so we appreciate you making time for us. It sounds like, and obviously this is something that's right up your alley, it sounds like the leader, the president of Colombia, it sounds like he's making a threat to the president of the United States, who has just recently cut off these subsidies and is telling him to stop bringing drugs into our country. What did you make of that video, though?
Well, I'll tell you, great to be back with you, by the way, Brianna. And let me tell you, the president, he's just nuts. This president is really off the handle. And the problem here, Brianna, is that he doesn't recognize or doesn't want to recognize on purpose the amount of cocaine that Colombia is producing, which, by the way, happens to be in massive amounts, more than we have seen ever. Even in my 25-plus career, the amounts of cocaine being produced in Colombia and other surrounding countries coming from there. You saw some of these boats. As a matter of fact, the semi-submersible that was taken out a few days ago by President Trump and our military was Colombian. And so, you know, it's one of those things that it's facing him, it's staring him right in the face, and he doesn't want to admit that he is the cause of the poison that continues to come into our country. And the reason why I mentioned cocaine, because you talked about fentanyl, and here's the one of the emerging threats that we are seeing is that cocaine is being laced with fentanyl. And so you have, you could call it recreational cocaine users in the U.S. dying now of poisonings because it's less laced with these poisons, fentanyl, xylazine. You mentioned the individual that the reporter saw that was dead there. Mm-hmm. I have actually seen this myself in person. These people freeze. They got xylazine in the system. They got fentanyl. They got all these different types of substances now and chemicals that the cartels have put in these drugs. They've laced marijuana. They're lacing cocaine. And, of course, the fentanyl pills are still very much available around our country.
Yeah, and so dangerous because, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, you know, these are people who are dealing with drug addiction issues and they kind of put themselves into this situation. But it's not just that. We're seeing all these videos of law enforcement officers simply making stops and they come across fentanyl and they find themselves in a situation where they're overdosing. Children, the same thing for them. They're coming across these drugs, not knowing what they are. And sadly, in many cases, it's been fatal for them. So this is an issue that affects so many and it's truly devastating to see. But I want to kind of talk from Colombia's perspective here because I can't imagine a situation where you become the president of Colombia, but you don't have to ask for the cartel's blessing in all of this. We know that there's been hundreds of politicians killed throughout the regions when they do run for office. So what kind of perspective is he speaking in? Is he someone who would have had to earn the cartel's blessings before taking on this position?
Oh, he's definitely complicit with them. You know, Colombia might be a little different than Mexico. In Mexico, the cartels, I could tell you 100%, they've taken over. They control the politicians. They control the narrative. They control that country. They're running a parallel government there. That's almost without saying at this point. But when Colombia, obviously, the at minimum, he's complacent and complicit, I should say, with these cartels and the connection between the Colombian cartels and the Mexican cartels is obviously something that is very heavily looked at. The relationships between Colombia, Venezuela, and then we go further than that. We expand. And who these countries are aligned with? Who are their friends and our enemies? We're talking about Hezbollah. We're talking about Iran. We're talking about China. So as you can see, this is a bigger issue, way bigger and above than the drug problem, but also a national security issue. Once you start talking about the big 64,000 picture when you see the overall connection and ripple effect that these countries are causing. Let me tell you, the U.S. obviously one of the first and one of the most consumers of drugs in the country, but in the world. But not anymore. We're talking about 65 countries around the world. And right now, these cartels are adjusting because our southern border, as secure as it is, they're having to get these drugs somewhere. And not only are they still trying to bring it in the U.S., but they're definitely taking it into Europe, Africa, and many, many other countries.
Yeah, Victor, we had Kevin on the show. That was the journalist who we saw the video in the opening of all of this. And Kevin told us that on the streets of Portland right now, the drug prices have surged because they're not getting the supplies that they used to under the Biden regime. And so although it's obviously very expensive, that's a good sign that they have a limited amount of resources that they're pulling from. And so it sounds like so far what the president has implemented, what you guys have been working on is really working out well so far. So that's some good news. And on this front, I want to also mention I want to also kind of bring up the Venezuela angle to all of this because President Trump is really going after Venezuela for the drugs they've brought into our country. As you mentioned, there was a submarine that was just recently, I guess you could say, attacked by us, but ultimately it was packed with fentanyl. And so President Trump went and made strikes against it. And although the two men that were on board were not killed, they have since been, according to reports, brought back to their countries of origin to face criminal prosecution. But the reality is President Trump is going after Venezuela because they've also played a key role in all of this, dumping some of their worst criminals into our country during the Biden regime years, but still trying to bring these toxic, poisonous drugs into our country. And so when President Trump was asked, and I love this clip because it's so direct, in 13, clip 13, when he was asked specifically about Venezuela and the president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, who obviously has a bounty on his head right now, as to why he's not kind of talking to him because he's offered us resources. Take a listen to President Trump's response.
Everything in his country, all the natural resources. He even recorded a message to you in English recently offering mediation.
He has offered everything. He's offered everything. You're right. You know why? Because he doesn't want to fuck around with the United States. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, guys.
My favorite moment is when you look over at Pete Hegseth and he's smiling like, yeah, J.D. Vance. Yeah, he said it. No bleep needed there. But it's incredible to have a president who is as direct as he is and understands the threat that Nicolas Maduro is. What is your reaction when you hear President Trump just being very direct and saying, it's not that we want anything from you. We want you to stop pumping these drugs into our country.
I got to tell you, I also love my president for being so direct. And that's what we're doing at ONDCP. We're going above and beyond and outside the scope of what we've done in the last, you know, 2-3 decades. Well, this is what the president wants. He wants outside the box thinking, unprecedented action, which you are starting to see already. And we're going to form that strategy, by the way. We're working for that strategy. And when it comes to Venezuela, listen, you and I talked about the immigration angle and Tren de Aragua. By the way, Maduro is the head of the Cartel de los Soles. He's a narco-terrorist. And the poison, the illegals, the gang members, the cartel members, the insane asylum, the drug addicts. My goodness, I saw this, you know, standing on the border many, many years ago under the Biden regime, where these people were just flowing into our country. And by the way, we can't ignore that. Now we're trying to interdict what they're trying to continue to do down there in the ocean before it even gets close to our border. That's great. But we also have to remember that we must do a lot within our own borders, because unfortunately, these people are already here and wreaking havoc. They're criminals. They're committing crimes, not only against U.S. citizens. Remember, they commit crimes against their own people, too, against their own the migrants and immigrants that are here, whether legally or illegally. They also victimize them. And sometimes the left forgets that. And so we're addressing that issue as well at ONDCP. It's a kind of a twofold approach here. You got the demand side and you got the supply side. And you mentioned it right now. And my philosophy, and one of those that I share with the president, is we have to attack the supply side. We want to make those drugs very, very difficult to get or very high in price, where it limits the use, so we could then really address the rehabilitation and treatment issue on the demand side. So all of that is coming together. You're going to see, I think, a lot more changes, a lot more activity. And I love the aggressiveness because, as you know, and you mentioned earlier on, this is personal for me. I lost my partner to these cartel terrorists. I took 3 bullets. And so I'm so fortunate and honored to be here and work for our next drug czar, Sarah Carter, which is right around the corner from being confirmed, to be able to now be in a position to do something about it. And boy, are we going to do that.
And it's incredible to see that Sarah Carter has been nominated for this. It's been great following her work over the years. And so the both of you understand this issue better than anyone. So this is the type of roles that we would love to see you guys in. Of course, I also want to get your take, Victor, on the left-leaning cities, those Democrats who are trying their very best to stop President Trump's agenda. Now, I mean, we keep highlighting Portland because we have reporters over there, but they're just allowing Americans to overdose in the streets. They're literally giving them the supply to do that. Again, Kevin has been interviewing a lot of these homeless people, these drug addicts who are struggling. And even they have actually expressed that they're really upset because they're just handed all these things just to keep egging on their drug addictions rather than coming up with the solutions on how to resolve these issues. What's your approach for going after these mayors, going after these states when it comes to them enabling these drug addicts?
Well, a couple of things where one, we're going to use the power of the purse. And I really don't like that statement, but really, it's really what, we're going to control. ONDCP controls, a lot of grant money and a lot of, these, monies that go to these, cities and sanctuary cities. And president with executive orders that made it very, very clear that he doesn't want that money to go there. Now we want the treatment to be available for those that want it. We want to be able to help those people that are highly addicted. So we're approaching it with treatment options. We're not going to give them syringes. We're not going to do it that way, that the left ideology. We're going to approach it in a very unique and new way, to where almost giving them almost, I want to say, almost no choice, saying, listen, you got to get off the street. We're going to give you the tools. We have the tools. We will support that financially to get you off. And really, frankly, we don't care what the city says or the governors. We want to help American citizens. We want them to get off of this poison. There's people that are actually now wanting fentanyl because they're highly addicted to it. If you don't die from taking fentanyl, you're definitely going to be addicted to it and want some more. And like I mentioned, there's so many other new emerging threats and new drugs like xylazine and nitazine that you see these people walking around like zombies or crouched over and just stuck there. These are the effects of these horrific drugs, plus the amount of people that we continue to lose. We're also very close with the families of the what we call the angel moms and the angel families that have lost their loved one to these poisonous pills. And we've met with them, and these horrific stories. You mentioned the children. So many children have died because they have been given access, whether at a daycare center or even in their own home, by a parent that's irresponsible and have access to a marijuana, for example, edible that is laced with fentanyl. And so you have horror stories out there that what our goal here is very simple. We're here to try to save lives and prevent the continuation of death, but then also hold those people accountable. And I'm talking about not just the cities and not the governors, but going to go all the way to, we're talking about China, who, as you know, provides the precursors and chemicals into Mexico. And so we're going to deal with it internationally as well, because we want to be able to start dealing with this problem way before it gets to our border.
Yeah, Victor, you mentioned China, and I don't know what you can share, but I'll ask anyway, and feel free to reject it. But I know President Trump is meeting with Xi Jinping in China next, or in South Korea, I should say, next month. Do you think that this is going to be one of the top issues the president addresses while meeting with the president?
I believe so. I think two things, obviously tariffs, and I think fentanyl. Listen, China continues to do it. The port of Manzanillo down in Mexico is the number one port where these chemicals are coming in. We want to be able to interdict them. We want Mexico to step up and actually do some enforcement down there. The chemicals come in, they get spread out either through the Sinaloa cartel or Cartel Jalisco New Generations into their super labs, into the jungles. They produce the meth, they produce the fentanyl, and then here we have this issue. As secure as the border is, Brianna, let's not ignore that there's still fentanyl and there's still drugs coming in through that border. And so we still have to, address that as well. Human smuggling, I might add, is still an issue in some parts of the border. So there's a lot more work to be done, but let's do it where instead of waiting for it to get to come to us, let's start putting the pressure and the burden back on these countries so they could do their part to really make an impact on that reduction.
Yeah, that's something we all would love to see, Victor. And we look forward to following all the great work that you're doing, as well as the other members of the Trump administration. You know, I say it all the time. We have great people working behind the scenes to make the campaign promises a reality. And you are one of them. So thank you for joining us today, Victor. We appreciate your time as always.
Honored to be back with you and hope to be back soon.
Yes, we can't wait to have you back on, folks. That's Victor Avila. He is one of the very few people who I truly love to speak to. I love speaking to everyone, but Victor, I'm a little bit biased here because Victor, I learned something new from him every single day. And I was very, very excited to see that Victor was making his way into the administration and in a very critical role like this one. Of course, he is over at ONDCP, he's the Director of External and Legislative Affairs. And that is the perfect situation for him because he understands the fight better than anyone. So it's an honor to have him on today's show, of course. Folks, I wanted to also bring to your attention what's going on right now in Dublin, because again, what's going over there is likely going to end up here. I want you to take a listen to clip 7, because As we've told you yesterday, there was a 10-year-old girl who allegedly was raped by a migrant who we believe, according to reports, comes from somewhere in Africa. They won't give you the exact details on him. They just say he's a migrant. He was rejected previously to stay in the country. He was supposed to leave, but he hasn't. Now, according to those reporters who were in the courtroom, he needed an Arabic interpreter during his hearing yesterday. Take a listen, though, because Ezra has been in the room, obviously. He's one of the great reporters over at Rebel News. We had him on the show last week as well. He is well-traveled these days. But he was out there listening to the protesters, talking to protesters. And something very interesting happened to Ezra yesterday, Ezra at Levant. So take a listen.
When hundreds of Dubliners were there to protest, the protests turned violent. And both sides absolutely lashed out at the other. I suppose on the side of the Dubliners, there was, I'd say, half a dozen people who were using fireworks to shoot at the police. I don't think there would be more than that. There were three Irish lads on horseback that sort of stomped on police pylons. So that was the sum total of the violence from the protesters' side. I would say 10 or less people. But on the police side, once they had that provocation, they responded overwhelmingly. I would say at least 100 Irish Gardaí, as they're called, including the riot squad. I thought I heard attack dogs, but they were never deployed. But what was deployed was pepper spray. And I got pepper spray in the eye and the ear. I tell you, that's an experience you won't forget quickly. You know, I'm not much for that kind of protest. I think where I come from, Canada has a more passive style than Ireland. There's a phrase, the fighting Irish. And I think the Irish have a rebellious streak in them, which is one of the reasons they're such a interesting and powerful people. And I'm sort of hoping that the Irish streak of rebellion will help free the country from this crazy mass immigration cult. And I think that's the thing that I take away from me tonight, is that the hundreds of people there, some of whom are violent, most of whom are all of whom are desperate. No one's hearing their voice. No one's being their voice. No one's listening to them. All the major political parties believe in mass immigration, and if you oppose it, they call you racist. All the major media do the same thing. Who do these people turn to? Where do they look for help? It's not shocking to me that some of them use fireworks against the police. I don't recommend that, of course. I don't praise the violence, but it's understandable, even if it's not acceptable. I think that we're going to see another round of these protesters being denounced as racist, but it doesn't change the fact that these mass immigration refugee camps are a danger. And even if they're not a danger of violence, which they are, they're changing Ireland. They're making it a different place. I was in the town of Dundrum last year, 200 people, and suddenly 240 migrants were put into a town of 200 people. Instantly, the Irish became a minority in their own town.
Now, obviously, Ezra and all the great reporters over at Rebel News are on the ground during very important situations and protests like these. And so if you're interested, make sure you give them a follow on X if you haven't done so already. They are doing incredible work. And Ezra is one of the very few who just jumps on a plane and goes straight to the hottest places in the country, in the world, I should say. So it's great to hear his incredible reporting, and it's good to hear that he is safe. Now, he was assaulted yesterday. It's also important to note, but I did check in on him, and he's okay. But again, this is what great independent journalism means. It means you're going to go to the most high-risk areas to bring the world the reports the mainstream media won't bring you, and he does that time and time again, as we see all the time, so it's great to hear from him. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com, because colostrum is back in stock. Buy one tum of colostrum, and you get 50% off another supplement while supplies last. Head on over right now and make sure to snag this. This is one of our top items as well, because folks, we just restocked it, obviously, but it helps with muscle recovery, stress support, toxin shield, and obviously it also helps with gut repair. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab yourself some colostrum while supplies last. There's more underway in the second hour of the show, so do not go anywhere.
I've been told for years to get bovine colostrum. It's the milk that a mammal produces as a cow in the first 2 weeks. It's the natural vaccine, its super nutrients, its growth factor, its anti-cancer, it's everything. Yes, ChatGPT, what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation. Metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. It goes on and on. And we have the non-pasteurized, super concentrated. It is incredible. Get your bovine colostrum. The first run sold out quick. Back in stock. And when you buy bovine colostrum, the highest quality, theoxygenstore.com right now, you get 50% off on all the other supplements. The methylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the ultimate life force, all of it. 50% off right now when you get bovine colostrum back in stock at theoxygenstore.com, and it funds the second American revolution worldwide. Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. The last run sold out. But it's now back in stock for only a few days. If you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Spike Protein Detox, Ultimate Life Force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum. It's so incredible. It's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner. But, Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theoxygenstore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
I have been on this colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
So who was it? Who's convinced you to take it? Steve Heinberg or something?
It was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. They're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heimers, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, and we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of mammals, milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I've never really known what it was.
No, you can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, uh-uh. I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
You're afraid you'll be... she came on the show like 6 months ago. She said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bouncing off the walls 30 minutes later.
How do you portion this
phone? Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty claims. Love you, Charlotte.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. You know, we talk about it often in the show. The left is extremely violent, and this administration understands that. They understand that these individuals are kind of actually just preparing for kind of a military war or militant war groups. I mean, I was covering the stories about these Antifa transgender people who are literally preparing for war. And it's disgusting that this is going on in our country right now, but the left is full of so much hate and rage that it's not really surprising. So if you're wondering how the administration is preparing for all of this, it looks like according to a new exclusive report that they are preparing for the nation's first ever National Guard response force,
which would potentially be the force training troops, obviously, responding to nationwide civil unrest. Now, it's very, very interesting, of course, that this would be taking place right now. This is obviously something that we see as very, very important. But joining us now to discuss is Anthony Cabasis. He's with us now. He's the reporter who brought you this exclusive on his Substack page, as well as Twitter accounts. And it's an honor to have him on the program to break down this report. Anthony, I want to thank you for being here today. I know you're very, very busy and you're on the ground in a lot of these key situations and doing a lot of the reporting based on how violent the left has become. But you've gotten your hands on a very important, let's just say, memo that went out. And ultimately, it's kind of outlining how the Trump administration is preparing to take on these individuals who are extremely violent. They're also looking for, according to you, some troops who are specializing in chemical, biological, and nuclear scenarios. So break down this exclusive that you just recently reported.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Brianna, and good morning, and just to all the InfoWars audience out there. It's a pleasure to join you all. But yes, this is an exclusive story that it was sent in by someone that wishes to remain anonymous, that works within the confines of the federal government, saying that, you know, they received this memorandum basically saying that the Trump administration, under the order of Pete Hegseth, which is now the Secretary of War, is creating the nation's first National Guard Response Force, the NGRF, in which basically they're saying that all 50 U.S. states and U.S. territories must have at least 500 National Guard troops trained and specialized in mass civil unrest. There are, you know, if you have the a page pulled up, you can kind of see some of the training that they're going to be receiving, which is, you know, kind of handling the civil unrest scenarios, to include using a baton, using non-lethal, kind of how to be able to just kind of handle these scenarios that are happening all over the nation right now. Los Angeles, they're looking at San Francisco now. You've got New York City as well. You've got places like Portland, Oregon, and Chicago, Illinois, that have kind of been a hotbed for these anti-ICE protests. And so what we saw earlier this year is that when Donald Trump was going to deploy to Los Angeles, the National Guard, and I was out there for that coverage as well, is that National Guard had to be trained, because this is not something that they are necessarily experts on. They're not really trained to handle kind of domestic civil unrest. And so, you know, when I first saw this, I said, okay, you know, there's a couple red flags here that, you know, kind of my ears are perked up for this. One of them is obviously this is the first time it's ever happening. But even if we look back, you know, we can talk about like the George Floyd riots. We can talk about even the riots going back to the when President Trump first got elected, with the riots happening in D.C. when he took office. I think that maybe one could say that the Trump administration is finally taking action and saying, okay, look, we've got these states that are not willing to cooperate. We've got places like Chicago that are giving stand down orders to the police, saying they will not aid or help in any way the federal government, because these governors of these blue states like California and Illinois are saying we are not willing to work with the federal government. So what that does is when there's federal agents operating for these coming after illegal criminal aliens, is they have no reinforcement. And if the crowd gets out there and starts demanding that these agents leave and kind of getting violent or leading to violence, they're not able to use local law enforcement to kind of set up a perimeter. And that is something that, you know, LA City Mayor Bass has said. This is something that the Chicago mayor has said, saying we are not working with these federal agents. And so there was this, I'm sure you guys had it here on InfoWars, that infamous 911 dispatch call where the 911 dispatcher said, hey, you know, we're getting these calls by federal agents asking that they need help. You know, they need help because they're basically under attack by these anti-ICE rioters. I'm just making sure we're told to stand down, right? And then the police officer says, yep, that's exactly what was told to us. We are not to respond to that. And so I think that now we have the National Guard as a tool, and that's what President Trump is doing, is saying, okay, look, if we have local state government and we have these governors and these police saying they're not going to help our federal agents performing these operations to target criminal illegal aliens in our country that are wreaking havoc and violence and rapes and murder in these communities, then we're just going to go ahead and start training troops in every single state so that should the state government fail us, we're going to go ahead and send in these federal troops. And so when in talking with the anonymous source that sent me this, this person said that the thing that stood out the most was, again, one could make the argument, okay, well, it's good to have this as a reserve backup. It probably should have been done a lot earlier, especially during the George Floyd riots. Maybe, President Trump back then should have thought about this, saying like, hey, we need more help at the federal level to contain these kind of situations. But the thing that my source said is that there are also specialized troops that are being attached to all these units in all 50 states that are trained in chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear response. And so that is the thing that that kind of made this anonymous source reach out to me saying, hey, maybe the training of the troops could be seen as kind of a preventative measure, something that maybe should have been done. But the fact that they're attaching these specialized units to these troops, that's like the big red flag. And so, if people want to go into my Substack and read the full report, this anonymous source basically said that they believe that the government might have intel that something big and potentially even massive is going to happen by January 2026, between January 2026 and May 2026. And that's why they're getting these troops ready. So I know it's a lot to kind of dissect there. That's kind of like an overview of what this Substack that I published yesterday had to say.
Yeah, and I think everyone should head on over there because I mention it all the time, but the reality of it is independent journalism only survives when we support it. So head on over to a Substack page to subscribe for that. We've got it up on the screen, the informed community. And, you're doing a great job with all of this. I'm going through your stuff, and it's incredible to see how detailed you go. But you're the one who's really getting yourself into the crazier protests that are popping up all around the country. We were just talking about yesterday, just a couple of moments ago, in Canal Street in New York City, how they were just simply trying to do an ICE raid. And I believe they did get a little bit less than a dozen illegal aliens in that raid. But the reality of it is they were met by a group of protesters, and the gentleman you see on your screen now covers his face, and they quickly unmask him so that the media could see his face. And we're thankful that they did that. But I mean, Anthony, talk a little bit about the masking part, because all of these people who claim to be protesters and the most violent ones who are going after these agents, they seem to always cover up their faces. There's a lot of obvious reasons behind this, but what are you seeing when you're at these rallies and at these protests?
Yeah, so I've been covering protests as an independent journalist, and not just protests, but anything really politically wise, from the state governor to the local mayor here in Los Angeles. I'm a Los Angelino myself. I live here in the county. And I've been doing this since 2017 independently because, as many of you know, if you're already watching InfoWars, you probably know and are of the mind that the mainstream media just can't be trusted. And so it's up to independent journalists like ourselves to go out there and give you the real news and to kind of put it in a perfect scenario. When I was out there for the No Kings protest on Saturday, one of the reports that went very, very viral was that LAPD, an SUV vehicle of the LAPD, had ran over protesters and injured multiple. I just so happened to be there. So there was multiple angles of this incident. It turned out to be just one person, not multiple people, that apparently fell to the ground when an LAPD SUV kind of went near this person. This person is a known agitator. This person was also arrested in Portland, Oregon in the last couple of weeks. And now he's back in Los Angeles kind of confronting police. So there's a lot of known agitators. There's a lot of people that frequent these protests. I don't know if these people are being paid. One could probably assume so. Mm-hmm. But what I was able to capture was people had all these different angles of this person falling near the SUV of the LAPD squad car. And so they were running with headlines. Even local news were running with headlines that LAPD had ran over this protester. And so lo and behold, I was directly behind this gentleman. And that's also on my Twitter. And this guy ended up faking it. He got near the LAPD SUV car and he just, kind of put his knee into the front bender. You can see how slow the LAPD SUV was going when it was going through the crowd. He ended up touching nobody else regarding the SUV, but then he ended up kind of flopping and he, you know, pretended to be, you know, fall and he was complaining about his back. He ended up getting put behind, in the back of a vehicle, of a nearby vehicle of a protester, and supposedly they were going to take him to the hospital, but then there's video evidence that shows that he was right back in the midst of the protest and perfectly fine, no limp, no injuries, just a couple, maybe like 30, 40 minutes later. And so again, that's the importance of independent journalism. And I actually had sources at the LAPD because again, I've been working out here independently. I've been able to garner sources all the way from the state capital of California, all the way to local PD and ICE and DHS, agencies. They reach out to me like, I think you just saved the careers of two police officers because you're the only one that posted the angle. And what's interesting, as if you watch that video that you guys just played, there are other independent journalists there. So sometimes when we are covering these protests, there's more journalists than there are protesters. I'm sure you've probably seen that, what that scenario looks like too, where it's just overwhelming amount. But for some reason, not a single other journalist was able to post that angle, disproving that LAPD did not actually run over these protesters. And that is because, as to your point, masked agitators, but there's also masked, quote unquote, independent journalists. There are independent journalists who are actually not independent journalists. They might have the badge, but they're actually there to create a narrative against law enforcement and the Trump administration. So they run these headlines saying, you know, a person was ran over. They'll interview the person, but they actually will not, even though they have the video, they will not run the video that disproves their own very own headline because there's a narrative to run. So yeah, of course we have these, what they're called black bloc, people that are dressed heavily in black. They're looking for anyone that might look, you know, in the crowd. I noticed this too during the No Kings Day. There was some conservatives there trying to do interviews with some of the protesters. And so you have these Antifa militants or black bloc that are showing up and kind of disrupting those interviews because they don't want conservatives there. They don't want Republicans there. And they threaten them. They say, if you don't leave, something bad's going to happen to you. And unfortunately, there was not a lot of law enforcement presence there on Saturday to kind of handle these kind of situations. So it's a very scary scenario, you know, being a conservative or Republican and being embedded in these protests, just trying to interview some people for their YouTube channel or just independent journalism of their own. And then you have these kind of people covered up. You have no way to identify them. Should anything happen to you, you know, good luck trying to provide a description to the police outside of saying they were heavily, you know, clothed in just black clothes. Yeah. Police are not going to be able to do anything with that.
Yeah, there's not much they can do with that. And that's the reason why they do it. And it's actually really infuriating because I used to say all the time, I still do, that independent journalism will save this country. And I think those on the left understand that now. And so running the rebuttal with other fake independent journalists, I guess I'd say, is really kind of the mechanism that they're utilizing right now. You know, before we started, you were talking to me about the No Kings rally and your coverage on that, and specifically how these so-called citizen journalists are following ICE agents. And that's very, very scary because time and time again, these agents are putting their lives on the line. And, you know, I said, you know, my researcher / producer for the show uncovered that there were the doxing of hundreds of employees, well over 1,000 DHS, DOJ and FBI employees with their phone numbers, their addresses, and all their information that was posted online. We reached out to DHS for comment before even talking about it, just to make sure that they were aware. They did say that they were investigating, and I didn't want to out these agents by breaking this story first. So we took a back seat on this. But this is what my point is here, is that these ICE agents are really under attack by fake independent journalists who are just there to spin a narrative, and those on the far left who literally want to kill them. I mean, we see it time and time again. They're opening fire on these officers. The agents who were coming out of that van in Dallas, I mean, they were the targets. Thankfully, they were fine, but sadly, three migrants were murdered by this individual. Just your thoughts on just how they are using these citizen journalists to kind of disguise themselves and to go after and follow these ICE agents around.
Yeah, I think you nailed it really well. One of the things that I remember doing the George Floyd riots, and I think everyone remembers, is that when the left, I guess, if you want to call them that, or just left-leaning or more Democrat-leaning, CNN was covering the protests. There's that very viral news clip of this black journalist, saying that, you know, hey, look, it's mostly peaceful, a little fiery, you know, these protests are mostly peaceful, but yes, they've lit some places on fire, you know, and then so that went very, very viral. And so that's kind of what you think about in regards to CNN, MSNBC, some of the mainstream media covering these protests in their best attempt not to kind of come after their own, right? They say, yeah, it was mostly peaceful. So what if they burn down one building? You know, like who doesn't burn down a building when they go out and protest peacefully, right? And so I think that what they've done, to your point, is they also noticed that during 2024, it was kind of like the year of the podcasts. You had these presidents that weren't maybe, you know, presidential candidates. You had Donald Trump, you had Kamala Harris kind of going more and more on podcasts because they are starting to realize that no one really listens to the mainstream media anymore. You know, you've kind of got like the older generation that still kind of tunes in, maybe more by habit because they're so used to it. But more and more people are turning to social media, turning to independent journalists. And so I think that the left has kind of figured this out, and they've even said, we need our own Charlie Kirk. We need more podcasters because the right is really good at this independent journalism stuff. And so now they're kind of launching these quote unquote independent journalists. But when you take a look at their pages, you can see that it's just full of lies and holes that a normal independent journalist wouldn't necessarily leave out. One example perfectly encompasses this is just yesterday I received a tip from a source at ICE LA saying that there was shots fired. And so the story that has now become official is that there was a TikToker, and this is very famous and very known and prominent here in the Los Angeles area alone, where you have these TikTokers that go out and they follow ICE agents all day long in order to alert the community and alert others, hey, I'm going live. We're following these SUVs that look like ICE. Now we're confirming they're ICE because they have their faces, shielded or masked up. And you need to be aware. And so you have a lot of the community there supporting these quote unquote independent journalists. But that to me is not necessarily journalism. You know, you're chasing DHS agents around, maybe in hopes of getting them in harm's way. They're name calling these people. They're kind of calling their audience to become more and more violent. And that's not just happening at the TikTok level. You have all these sound bites of even elected representatives saying that it's time for people to use your Second Amendment. I mean, Don Lemon himself, who now is a quote unquote independent journalism, had that very viral clip saying it is time for people, black and brown people, to start arming up so that whenever people try to kidnap them, talking about ICE agents coming to do their duty in getting criminal illegal aliens out of the streets and out of these neighborhoods, that is time to use these guns against them. And so it's very dangerous rhetoric by these, again, quote unquote independent journalists. But it turns out that this specific TikToker that has been quote unquote anti-ICE activist documenting Trump's Gestapo, their words, not mine. It turns out that he himself is a criminal illegal alien, was given an honor by the city of Los Angeles, by his local community reps, saying that he's doing a great job as a citizen journalist. But it turns out that he himself is a criminal illegal alien. So yesterday what they did was they issued a warrant, and they were serving this warrant to this quote unquote TikToker to get him deported because he is a criminal illegal alien. And in attempting to do so, he ended up using his vehicle to attack DHS agents and U.S. Marshals, and they opened fire on him, and he has been hospitalized. And you have other independent journalists. There's one very notorious, very left-leaning. It's called L.A. Taco, Los Angeles Taco. And they put up the story saying that basically Trump's Gestapo was coming after independent journalists. But what they don't tell you, and again, this is where it's full of holes and full of bias, these quote-unquote independent journalists that always promote themselves as such, and that's why you need to support their channel, they left out the convenient part that this man, this TikToker, is a criminal illegal alien with a criminal record and tried to run over and potentially kill DHS agents, and that's why they opened fire on him. It's interesting times because we've always been really good at the independent journalist stuff, but now we're living kind of in a time where Now you got to be careful of what independent journalists you follow, because even that now has been kind of corrupted by these activist individuals. And it's tragic, because for years people have turned to independent journalists, and these people are smearing the name and the credibility of independent journalism.
Yeah, no, they are. And I think it's intentional, though. I think what they're trying to do, and I'll let you weigh in on this, Anthony, we've got about three more minutes. I think that they're trying to do this intentionally. I think what they're doing is trying to push us closer to a civil war, and they're feeding all of the crazies on their side these false narratives, so that this pushes them to think that ICE is on a rampage. ICE is going out there and killing people. I mean, I was listening to Chris Cuomo, a clip that was posted on social media, and even Chris Cuomo received a call from a viewer who was saying, you know, should we potentially be opening fire? And Chris Cuomo had to talk this person off the edge and tell them that what they're hearing is not necessarily true, and there's no justification for violence. And you know it's pretty bad when Chris Cuomo is the one who has to sit there and push back against this. But this is what's happening right now on the left. They're feeding their lies to the crazies in their party, and they feel like they have to, for the better of this country, go out there and attack these agents. Do you think that this is all intentionally being done to stir up a civil war in this country?
Yeah, I truly do believe that in the next year, right before the election, next November election, I do believe that we are headed to some kind of civil strife or civil war. It's not going to look, you know, I've talked about this on my own podcast, on YouTube. I do have a small channel there, Inform with Anthony podcast, but I have talked about this before, where some people think that it's going to, you know, the civil war is going to look like, basically, you know, Republicans are going to go out there in red shirts and Democrats are going to go out there in blue shirts and they're just going to have at it. That's not really what we're looking at. What we're looking at is more like a standoff of local government, states versus the federal government. And we're already seeing that in places like California, Oregon, Washington State, Illinois, kind of like these more blue states that are saying we do not recognize the federal government. Even before, for example, we went into No King's Day on Saturday, Gavin Newsom, who obviously is posturing himself for a 2028 presidential run, and he's trying to become the forefront runner by becoming this kind of hero of Democrats, saying, you know, elect me and I will fight Donald Trump and his agenda. Right before No King's Day, he said, let this demonstration, let this protest be our national divorce. Let this be our way of telling the federal government we no longer recognize them, that we will no longer be working with them. And let this be the time that we kind of exit this America that is Donald Trump's fascist dictatorship. So there, the wording is already there. The messaging is already there by these, you know, national leaders, and these state governors. And I think what's happening is with this new National Guard response force, again, kind of coming back to that, is I think the Trump administration can kind of foresee what's about to happen. And, you know, you've got a couple, rulings over at the Supreme Court where we're looking like we're about to strike down Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, that even Political and the New York Times headlines are admitting that should this, Section 2 be struck down by SCOTUS, that it would basically guarantee Republicans the Congress and Senate for decades to come. So you can just imagine Democrats are very desperate right now. They lost in a landslide in 2024. They are losing power. And now you've got a Trump administration that says, we're not just going to come after the actors. We're going to come after the people funding these actors. And that's been evident even here in Los Angeles, where we've got this great attorney general, Bill Esaley, who was a former assembly member here. And he's been talking about, we're going to come after you guys financially. He's been partnering up with the IRS saying, we're coming after who's funding you guys. Yeah. And what we've been seeing is less and less protests and less violence, because the money is no longer there. So I think what we're going to be seeing is, if SCOTUS strikes down this Section 2 ruling, I think what we're going to see is a very, very, very desperate Democratic Party, and they will do anything come next summer, because we all know summers on election years are usually pretty spicy, you know, in terms of protesting. And I think we're going to see a Hail Mary by Democrats.
Yeah, Anthony, I think you're right on that one. Anthony, I want to thank you for joining the show. For our audience, make sure you keep up with his independent work over on X and over on Substack, of course. Anthony Cabasa, thank you so much for joining us today. Folks, we're going to have a lot more to dive into. In the meantime, make sure you download that Alex Jones app, alexjonesapp.com, right now to stay in touch with us. More on the way.
I'm done. jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the ultimate methylene blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by methylene blue, ultra methylene blue at thealexshowstore.com.
Kick off the third hour of the program. I'm excited that you guys are all here because there's more to dive into in just a few moments. I will be telling you a little bit more about that raid in New York City yesterday on Canal Street. I just got a statement from DHS. I'll read it to you guys, though, right when we come back with the main show, of course. You know, we take these little breaks for the radio side of all of this. But for now, I also wanted to tell you all about some breaking news that we also did get in from DHS and ICE. A fugitive who was one of the most wanted individuals in El Salvador, an MS-13 gang member, has actually just been arrested. He was sought for murder charges. ICE just making that arrest. Literally just got that in about 30 seconds ago. So that's the good news. That's what ICE is doing out there. You know, when they sit there and they push back and they tell you that the ICE agents are racist and they're going after people and kidnapping brown people off the streets, just note that they're going after the worst of the worst, people who are criminals, people who are being sought by El Salvador for being violent thugs. So that's what's going on right now in our country. I'll bring you more on that, too, in just a few moments. But again, folks, a lot coming in from DHS, even though we've got these shutdowns. And thanks for getting this on the screen, guys, because I tossed it up as quick as I could when I saw the announcements. Just because, you know, these ICE agents aren't being paid right now doesn't mean that they're not going to stop. They are continuously going out there and continuing their mission of taking the worst of the worst off the streets. You know, again, in this email, I'm getting details on other people they've arrested. There's another illegal alien who was wanted for a murder in Mexico who they just scooped up within the last few hours. Another illegal alien who is a child rapist who was released based on the Virginia Richmond's sanctuary policies. You got to love those these days. And another one, they've apparently ICE has just lodged a detainer for a convicted child rapist that was released into the country by, of course, the Biden regime. And he has since been under arrest. ICE lodged the detainer for this criminal illegal alien after a Virginia highway shooting. So these are the updates that I constantly get. So I'm not here trying to tout the administration and just kiss butt to them. I'm telling you the truth. I see the images. I see the arrests that are coming in. And I'm getting every couple of hours at least five of these notifications that notify us of who they're actually arresting and going after. And so just know it's not perfect, but they are doing their very best to take these thugs off the streets, and we're excited about that. We're also excited because in the third hour of the show, Mel Kay is joining us, and we're going to be sounding off about organ harvesting as well as the persecution of Christians all around the world. But specifically, we're going to focus, hyper-focus on China, because there's a new article up on Infowars.com that
does more to expose just that. Alex Jones has been covering, obviously, the organ harvesting angle for all of this since the 90s, I think it's been. But we continue to cover it here on this show because this is very, very important. And this is a story that you're not going to want to miss out on. We'll also be talking about Fannie Willis because the DOJ is investigating Fannie for her Bahamas trip. As many of you guys know, she is a very sketchy character, someone who wanted to go after President Trump for crimes that were never committed. And so strangely enough, she just continues and continues to do and participate in very sketchy things. Right? She hasn't been charged with anything as of yet, but she's the first one to go after the president of the United States to try to stop him from getting back into the White House. She failed, thankfully, and rightfully so. But she was the one who was funneling money over to her lover, who was the special prosecutor, who really didn't have the experience to be a special prosecutor for a RICO case. And so we'll dig into more of that because that woman is a troll. She is a horrible person. And we just love to expose people who have tried their best but failed to try to prevent President Trump from getting back into the White House. So it's always a good story whenever we cover that, of course. Also, looks like Amazon is reportedly looking to replace half of its human workers with robots. Yeah, I bet you're probably going to be scared about this story, but this is what's going on right now in the world. Most won't tell you about it. I've got all of the details regarding just that. So we'll break all of that down for you in the third hour of the show. Lots of stories to dig into, and I'm excited for that. So do not go anywhere. But in the meantime, you know, I have to tell you all about the AlexJonesStore.com because there's so many incredible items that will improve your personal health. So you got to head on over there now and take a look around if you haven't done so already because colostrum is back in stock. And I know we've been out of stock on that. It's one of very popular items right now. But when you buy a tub of colostrum, you're also going to get 50% off another supplement while supplies last. These sales are very limited. So head on over right now to the AlexJonesStore.com. Colostrum's great for someone who's looking to repair your gut health, build up your immunity system, and also help your muscles recover. This is one of those favorite items right now over at the AlexJonesStore.com. Don't go anywhere.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. And by the way, happy Wednesday, everyone. I know someone just outed me because I said the wrong day. Sorry, it's been a very long week. A lot of stories going on that we're covering. And so it is Wednesday. I think I said Tuesday, maybe Thursday. But whatever it is, it's Wednesday. Don't always believe me when I get the days. You believe me, but don't believe me when it comes to my days. It's all just a blur. But I wanted to let you guys know that we're following that story about the ICE raids in New York City yesterday. We talked about on this show on Canal Street. ICE was conducting several raids, and it was very interesting to sit back and watch because all the left-wing terrorists flooded the area and were trying their very best to disrupt the raids. Thankfully, ICE agents, because they have the backing of President Trump, really didn't back down from that and decided to unmask one of the alleged violent protesters. But I reached out to DHS to learn a little more about the raid and what they were able to uncover. And I just heard back moments ago from DHS Assistant Secretary Trisha McLaughlin, who provided us with this statement saying that ICE and its federal partners, including the FBI, DEA and ATF, IRS and CBP, conducted a target intelligence-driven enforcement operation on Canal Street in New York City, focused on criminal activity related to selling counterfeit goods. Told you about my story. Yeah, it happens on Canal Street. That's what it's legendary for. But during this, she details, the operation was met with rioters who were shouting out obscenities and began to become very violent and obstruct law enforcement duties, including blocking vehicles and assaulting law enforcement officers. Four rioters have since been arrested for assaulting federal law enforcement officers, and another rioter was arrested for obstructing law enforcement by blocking a driveway. In all, nine illegal aliens were arrested during this raid. Some of their rap sheets included robbery, burglary, domestic violence, assaulting law enforcement officers, counterfeit and counterfeiting, and drug trafficking and forging. So again, folks, this is what they're doing. She goes on to say, under President Donald Trump and Secretary Kristi Noem, criminal illegal aliens are not welcomed in the United States. Again, this is what we voted for, but this is what ICE is up against. That's just one raid. One raid, and they're dealing with their officers being assaulted, being blocked, and they're always on edge. You have to just assume at this point that they are on edge, but thankfully they're not backing down anytime soon, and so we're thankful for just that. I want to continue to focus on a couple of other things. I want to talk about Obama's new library. It's pretty ugly. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but it's an ugly library. I actually saw Scott Adams, I believe it was yesterday, paired up next to one of the North Korean, I guess, towers where they could see if their people are deflecting to South Korea. I mean, it doesn't tell you everything. I don't know what it will. But folks, it's a really ugly, ugly library. And there you go. It's really bad, but they always make these ugly structures. It's probably because they're miserable on the inside and they want a building that reflects just that. But in clip nine, President Trump isn't holding back any punches. When he was asked about Barack Obama's ugly library, this is what he had to say.
You're building your ballroom right now. They're also building the Obama Presidential Library. I'm wondering if you've
seen...
He needs help. Have you seen pictures of the architecture?
And yeah, I did. It's not too pretty. No, but it's closed. It's stopped. They ran out of money. I mean, he's building a library slash museum. You know, you call it some museum, some... And usually they call it both. They call it Library and Museum. That's the official name. And they're stuck. And he wanted only women and DEI to build it. Well, that's what they got. And the construction workers are standing out there and saying, we want to be able to build it. You know, you have great... I built a great building in Chicago, as you know, a big, beautiful building, one of the tallest buildings in the country. And we got it built very quickly, very well. And we used the construction workers of Chicago. They're great workers. They're great construction people. And I suggest that you get them involved. But they're hundreds of millions of dollars over budget. And I think it stopped. I'm reading these terrible stories. But that's the way our country was run under President Obama, too. Nobody knew it.
It all adds up. It all adds up. President Trump saying only women in DEI were the ones building the building. Probably, very likely. Very likely. But again, remember, these are communists you're dealing with, so they don't really build the best structures. And they build a lot of ugly, because it reflects how they feel on the inside, of course. Speaking about ugly, let's turn to Jen Psaki, because Jen Psaki, her inner beauty matches her outer beauty. I'm just trying to figure out the nicest way to phrase that. And she's trying her very best to go after J.D. Vance and fearmonger a bit because she doesn't like J.D. Vance. And, you know, she wants to go after J.D. But she also is trying to make it seem like J.D. Vance's wife is somehow miserable by being married to him and possibly in need of some help. In clip 10, Psaki takes a jab of her own at J.D. Vance and his wife. Take a listen.
I think the little Manchurian candidate, J.D. Vance, wants to be president more than anything else.
Yeah.
I always wonder what's going on in the mind of his wife. Like,
agreed.
Are you okay? Please blink four times.
Yes.
We'll come over here. We'll save you. And that he's willing to do anything to get there. And that your whole iteration you just outlined, I mean, he's scarier in certain ways.
He's smarter.
In some ways. And he's young.
Yeah, and ambitious.
And ambitious. And agile in the sense that he is a chameleon who makes himself into whatever he thinks the audience wants to hear from him. Now, what's also true, though, is J.D. Vance is not, he's in some ways goodish on paper, if you like what he believes in, I don't know. But I don't know that he can take the whole movement with him.
No way.
I don't think so either.
He has no riz.
It's got no riz, right?
None.
And he just is a little odd. And
totally.
So Trump's odd in a different way. So I'm skeptical of that. So yeah, he's got to, I mean, everything going on right now, and I think we have to be very clear-eyed about this, is about trying to, manipulate the public around elections. And
but when miserable women decide to do their very best to go after married women and make repulsive comments about their husbands. She's scared. What makes you think she's scared? No. You were one of the many women who do not. I don't even know if she's married. I'm going to assume no, she's not, with a face like that. And the way she views marriage, obviously J.D. Vance's wife looks very loving. They've raised children together who look like they have a great childhood from just the outside looking in. And so the fact that someone like herself and those liberal hacks across the table from her continue to beat down a woman because they disagree with her husband's political takes is just absurd. To insinuate that there's somehow fear is pretty disgraceful. I mean, look at this. Is that her husband, guys? No wonder why she's miserable. He's probably the one that just had that baby based on the gut. He obviously isn't visiting the alexjonesstore.com. He looks like he's in poor health. But folks, this is the reason why Jen Psaki is such a miserable, miserable person. When these women go after other women like you see there and target them, it's only because they're miserable. It's only because they're miserable. You have no idea what it's like for J.D. Vance and his wife. Zero clue. They always look happy. And to sit there and to insert that type of thing is just insane to me, only because, folks, they have kids, right? But these people don't care about the kids. These are the ones who are trying to destroy marriages, traditional marriages. They don't agree with any of that. And so they would love to go out there and add something to their marriage, something that's potentially toxic. Obviously, I don't think J.D. Vance is going to let that sink into his head. This is what those who run for office are up against. They're up against these crazy, miserable liberal women who, just based on the looks of that room, it probably stinks like mothballs and cheap wine. Not surprising, though. This is what the left is. They will always be a group of miserable women. I mean, name one liberal-ran city where you see people that are happy, who are smiling, who are greeting one another. It's not the case. It's because they're all miserable people. They're all miserable people. Speaking of miserable people, too, let's pivot a little bit. Let's talk about Fannie Willis. Ugly on the inside, uglier on the outside. Fannie Willis. I'm throwing jabs at everyone today, especially these women, because they're evil. They're evil. The DOJ apparently is investigating the Fulton County District Attorney for her Bahamas vacation because, well, after she was apparently reelected in 2024, there's a lot of questions circulating about how she paid for that. Now, the Trump administration, according to the New York Times, the Trump administration's DOJ is targeting Willis, that's how they put it. After Willis was disqualified from the case, that RICO case, where she went out there, she lied, she tried to get low-level people who were just literally knocking on doors, wrapped up into a RICO case, to stop President Trump from running for president and winning again. But she failed. She failed. No care in the world for the people that she destroyed financially. Patriots like Jeff Clark and others. Another miserable woman who's got thighs for arms. Anyways, I'll stop cracking these jokes because it's mean. It's what my mom's going to tell me. It's bad luck. But President Trump, of course, not doing this because he's trying to go after these people for any type of retribution, as they'll tell you. No, it's called the accountability tour. You want to call President Trump a criminal. You want to cook up these allegations against him. Will you appear, allegedly, we have to say, be a very corrupt individual yourself? So Fannie Willis, yeah, you deserve to get this type of thing overlooked, overviewed. We need people looking and sifting through your finances. That's the woman who's got bags of money laying around her house because her dad told her to do so. But you and I wouldn't understand that. You'd be a black woman to understand that. Remember when she said that with a serious face, too? These are the people who apparently keep getting reelected. I don't know. Fulton County is a really nice area. The jail is awful. But the politics are even worse. Politics are even worse. You know, if Fannie Willis really wanted to be a good person, do the things she pretends like she actually cares for, she probably would reform that prison or that jail that they run. I remember learning about it. I believe it was last year or the year before. Multiple black men actually died in that jail. One was literally eaten alive by bed bugs in the Fulton County jail. I believe that family is suing now. Their loved one, who was suffering from schizophrenia, if I remember correctly, was screaming in agonizing pain as he died because, well, they don't know how to run their jails in Fulton County. But her focus was never on the people of Fulton County. Her focus was on whatever the White House was telling her about. Here you go. Great guy. Great job, guys, pulling this up. It was disturbing to read and see these images. The law firm representing his family, I believe, was one who released the images back in 2022. And it's not just him. There's been others. Again, just because you're in jail doesn't mean you're convicted of a crime. And if you're someone dealing with mental health issues, doesn't mean that you deserve to be abused either. But let me take it back to the story, because Willis, well, her office is claiming that the trip was a leadership training summit. The Bahamas, of course. Campaign funds were used to cover the trip expenses, according to Willis's spokesperson. No government funds were used by the DA for the expenses related to the training. Oh, how convenient. How convenient. The woman with bags of money, the woman who hired her lover to be the special prosecutor, who couldn't tell you anything about their relationship. Yeah, there's probably a lot there. That's why it's important to follow the money. Let's turn things over to Chicago. Because obviously, and I hate this because Chicago is such a great city. I was there last year and I loved it, but I can't go back because of what it is, what it's become. Chicago is a beautiful city, though, if you actually go there and be in a safe area. I don't know what area that would be at this point. Especially if you're a white woman walking down the streets, because take a look at this footage. Now, the city of Chicago tried their very best to hold it back, but it looks like a local news station has finally gotten its hands on this. A woman was assaulted while she was simply committing the crime of just crossing the street. As you can see, she's walking with a friend, it looks like, and she's punched and knocked out unconscious. Now, that's the aftermath of the image. This was Libs on TikTok who posted this. William Livingston is the suspect's name. Now, in the footage, obviously, you see him approaching the woman, the victim, Kathleen Miles, from behind, punching her in the head, knocking her out unconscious, and causing her head to hit the pavement, it looks like. Miles had suffered multiple fractures and a concussion, obviously. And she's having difficulty carrying out everyday tasks. Now, prior to this, the suspect, surprise, surprise, had prior charges for assaulting four women in 2022, but faced the bare minimum of consequences and was released back onto the streets. I mean, how many more times did you see this crap happen? Let's just play devil's advocate since the left loves to do this. Again, I'm watching NBC News last night, and they're covering a police officer who was accused of fatally shooting a black woman who was carrying a hot, boiling hot water in a pot and was apparently threatening to throw it at law enforcement. Now, again, not taking sides. All I knew based on NBC's reporting before they even showed the video, the body cam video, is that the officer was white. The suspect was black. She was shot and killed. They love to drum up the narrative there. Will they show you a video like that? Absolutely not, because that video is not a limited circumstance of violence being committed by black men against white people. If you just align the statistics when they were authentic before the FBI was manipulating them under Joe Biden, you would see that white people are victimized by minority groups all the time in this country, but we're not allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to talk about it. In fact, they have begun manipulating those crime stats, the racial ones at least, so that you don't understand and don't know how bad things are truly in this country. We've seen it time and time again. Arrests of individuals who don't look white at all suddenly being labeled as white by the police when they're filing their paperwork. Why? Because you got to boost up the statistics regarding white people being violent. That's what the narrative was under the Biden regime. So videos like that of a woman who's just simply walking down a street in Chicago, getting decked in the face by a man who obviously, yeah, probably has mental health issues, but should he continuously be released on the streets? How dare you walk down the streets, you white lady? And can she sue? I mean, she can't sue. Most of these public officials have immunity. The judges have immunity. She's not going to get anything from that guy. So now she's just forced to live with whatever damages that she's received from all of this. Again, you can't be white walking around Chicago anymore. You'll get decked in the face by a man who doesn't care, as he continuously, according to the allegations he's faced previously, she's now, what, the fifth? Who's at least filed charges? This is what's going on. And then they try to hide that video from you so you can't see it. Because I'd hate for you to see the truth. You know, in New York City, while I'm covering crime stories, time and time again, they refuse to show you the footage or the images of the suspects arrested for the crime. You wouldn't even get that mugshot. You wouldn't even get that mugshot. Why? Well, under Bill de Blasio, oh, what an alignment of photos, mugshots. I mean, come on, people. At what point do we go, enough is enough? Again, it's not just happening in blue cities. It's happening all over the country. But again, they just want to dismiss it. They want to move on. They don't want you talking about it. We can only talk about race when it's convenient for those on the left. In clip 11, we're going to sadly listen to Corinne Jean-Pierre, who is, again, drumming up her book. But it's just like the cheapest sales pitch imaginable. We're so over it. I mean, it's like nauseating hearing her talk about how she's the first black lesbian. Blah, 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 blah. But that's the only thing she has. There's no skill set. She's not very intelligent. I'd say she's probably one of the many low IQ Democrats that's out there. And she's no longer identifying with the Democratic Party. Now she wants you to know that. But she's got a book to sell, so she has to drum up the race narrative because that's all she knows. Take a listen.
How to move forward. And for me, as a black woman, as a person who's also LGBTQ, I feel as if those communities that I am part of largely get taken for granted. And I see that today in groups that are being thrown under the bus for a short-term win. And it is not the big tent party that I loved and enjoyed and was part of and fought for. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I want to start a conversation with how do we fix this? The system is indeed broken. The two-party system is not functioning in the way where our democracy is being protected right now. I feel as if the Democratic Party right now is too timid. They're not speaking up. We need to be, they need to have a strategy and be really clear about how they're moving forward in this moment. And when I left the administration on January 20th, I was hearing from people. I would go around, I'm sure you all hear from folks too as you're going to the supermarket and doing the business of your day. And people would come up to me and they would say, what's happening? What's going on? Why isn't the Democratic Party fighting? Where's their teeth? Why are they not standing up? They knew this was coming. And it really broke me. It broke my heart to hear it because people were crying. People were upset about this. And so this is my way of using my platform to have a conversation, to start a conversation.
Yeah, multiple party systems do not work. It's very clear that we need to address that. Look at Canada. It's an absolute cesspool since inflicting that on the rest of us. So no. I would actually not advocate for that at all. And I think it's becoming outrageous that we continue to entertain the argument. There's very little pushback, of course, because those on the left don't know how to answer that type of question, don't know how to push back on it. But the reality of it is point to a country where a multiple party system has worked. I can't find one. But anyways, I mean, the overall view of this is to go after her again for just being a race baiting. Can't say that word. But again, folks, it's infuriating. She's being dragged across the media outlets right now, touting her book, selling her book by trying to go after those and play up again the narrative that this country is full of hate and rage, and it's not. This is the best country in the world. There's not a better country than the United States of America. And so when she tells you these things, understand she's full of it. All right, I'm going to turn to this Amazon story because this one's really important. Amazon is reportedly about to replace 500,000 human workers with robots. Again, this is according to reports. Amazon plans to automate 75% of its warehouses operating by 2033, potentially reducing U.S. hires by over 600,000 in 8 years. Now, the automation is expected to save the company $12.6 billion. Now, when you equate that to what that would save those who are purchasing products off of their platform, that would only bring you about actually, and it's not that much, only about 30 cents per item. Now, again, this could eliminate potentially 160,000 potential new jobs by at least 2027. That's the data that they're pushing out there. But it looks like Amazon might begin automating a lot of these jobs. And we see it actually with the drones that they're using for delivery services now. They've been warming that up, testing that out to see if they could do that. And so this isn't surprising. thousands of Americans who work for Amazon. I know I have some family members who work for Amazon. I mean, that would be devastating for them. So we'll continue to follow that story as it develops. But, yeah, I mean, it looks like that's what they're leaning towards. All right, folks, I want to remind you all again to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Colostrum is back in stock. When you buy one tub of colostrum, you're going to get 50% off another supplement. That's for a limited time while supplies last, of course. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab some colostrum because, again, folks, in case you didn't know, and this is why it's so popular on our website, and we had to restock it because it helps with gut repair, immune power, muscular recovery, stress support, toxin shield, and it helps you better absorb your nutrients as well. So this is a top pick over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over there now and make sure you grab it while it is still in stock. Again, over at thealexjonesstore.com. And, you know, not only will you feel better health-wise when you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, but you'll also feel better in your heart because you just helped out us significantly with us staying on air and helping funding our next operation. With every purchase over at the Alex Jones Store, you help us prepare for our very next operation. So head on over there now and support us. Mel Kay is up next. Don't go anywhere.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue. And the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-element formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him, and I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio, and 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones Store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I actually just got breaking news from AG Ken Paxton from the great state of Texas. About 5 seconds ago. So we're going to read it right now on air. Ken Paxton's office is announcing the arrest of 35 illegal aliens for immigration violations through several of their investigations they've conducted. And they've now turned those over to DHS and ICE. They say recently the Criminal Investigative Division encountered and detained 35 illegal aliens across the state in a multiple metropolitan operation. These foreign nationals were processed removal by ICE, according to that. So we even have the Texas AG's office working with ICE here in Texas to deport these illegals, of course. And that's good news. So they just announced that they've gotten 35 of them and handed them over to ICE for deportation proceedings, which is great to hear. But I want to take things over to China, because as many of you guys know, President Trump next month is going to be meeting with a CCP leader in South Korea. This is something that's going to be obviously very important. A lot of things that are going to be discussed are tariffs, but things that probably won't be discussed that we hope President will focus on are the persecution, the religious persecutions in China, specifically on Christians. There's a new report right now up on Infowars.com. But I wanted to highlight for you guys all, of course, because this one's an important one. I know Alex has been talking about this for years now. I think this goes back to the 90s at this point. But China is ramping up its war on Christians. And it's important that we highlight that because, well, nobody else will, according to our own report right now up on the website. Because on Monday, it was reported that the Chinese Communist Party ramped up their assault on Christians as part of their, you know, atheist dictatorship war on God. As many of you guys know, they actually do have internment camps for those Muslims in their area, but obviously Christians heavily targeted as well. And there's been well-documented reports regarding the history of China using those religious individuals for organ harvesting. And so, again, this is something that needs to be talked about more often, the abuses that are going on right now in China. So joining me to discuss is my girl, Mel Kay. She was here in the studio last week. She is now remote, though. Kind of missed you, Mel. It was good to have you over here.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I miss you guys, too. So much going on. I could talk all day.
I know. Well, that's what we're looking forward to right now. And we're appreciative to have you on the show. You do talk a lot over the Mel Kay show. And so we're honored to have you on there. We'll have you on here. I know you do a lot over there. And you're also the author of Americans Anonymous as well, which is a book that I've snagged, and I highly recommend everyone else do just that over on Amazon. But, you know, Mel, we're talking now about China. President Trump obviously going to be meeting with the CCP leader, and this is going to be a very interesting meeting. They're meeting in South Korea, and we're learning of more reports regarding their war on Christianity and how they're going after Christians in their own country and how a lot of those individuals do end up getting their organs harvested. I mean, this is something that Alex has been covering, I'm pretty sure, since like the 90s. This has been ongoing. Yeah. But I wanted to kind of talk to you about this because you obviously have a different angle on as to why this is happening and want to give us some type of deep understanding into all of this. So break down what this means.
Well, first of all, people have to understand China has been working on their Belt and Road Initiative for now a very, very long time. While we were crazy and going following the Project for a New American Century full spectrum dominance of the military, China was going around the world capturing basically the supply chain routes, maritime and otherwise, all over, taking over ports all over the world. I've always said I thought the Belt and Road Initiative wasn't just about supply chain, but was really their military plan. So my thinking right now, first, there's a lot of internal strife going on within the CCP right now. People have been replaced. People have been moved out of positions. As we've talked about before, China has also taken the top spot, basically at the UN, the World Economic Forum, the obviously World Health Organization. So there's a lot of moving pieces, and there is some talk that there is resistance and other CCP members that are not any more enamored with Xi. So they are having their own internal problems. Of course, it's a communist, really a technocracy, communist country. So frankly, we don't get real news out of China unless you find some of the people that are brave enough to tell the truth. So first thing we have to understand is that there is problems within China. They have their own deep state. They have their own issues. As far as the Christians and Muslims and crackdown, China is a totalitarian regime, which means there is no God. When Mao took over the country, God and family were replaced with Mao and state. So any kind of God, any kind of belief in a higher power, anything like that is antithetical to what they want, which is a full totalitarian technocracy that is completely track and trace surveillance. We have to remember a lot of the same companies that built that totalitarian technocracy are building all over the world, including here. So we got to keep our eyes on a lot of things. As far as the abuse and the torture and murder of Christians all over the world, it goes along with the same thing we're dealing with on many levels. It's the red-green axis. The red, obviously, communism. There is no God in communism. The state is the be-all, end-all. The state is God. And then in Islam, there is no one above Allah, and Allah is the only authority, and Sharia law is the highest level of law. There is no Constitution, Bill of Rights. There is no other God than Allah, and Christians and Jews and everyone else are below them and can be subjected to death or anything else in their global jihad. So what you have is two powers right now that seem to be aligned somehow, but they really don't align in reality because both of them are basically totalitarian, and the totalitarian regime cannot have a second totalitarian regime walking around with it. So right now it seems that everyone is trying to triple down on their own ideology to see who will supplant or replace the United States of America. And all this is saying to me more now is the United States is more important now, 250 years later, than maybe it ever was before in history. We are the bastion of freedom, of freedom of religion. Our country was not how the progressive turned it around, that separation of church and state. No, no, no. It was to keep the government out of religion so you could practice freely however you choose. So, again, this is just shining a light on why America is so important. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and our founding is the answer to all of this. And that's what I see right now with these news stories coming out. There is internal struggle in both Islam and in communist China, and what we are seeing are what they allow out, because obviously they don't have freedom of the press in either. So I think that America should really be looking at this more in terms of their own internal struggles are heating up, and we, the people of the United States, are their target, but actually we are the solution.
Yeah, well, that's the issue here, and I think that this is going to be really important heading into this meeting in South Korea, Mel, because President Trump is going to be able to grill him on a couple of key things here. Obviously, tariffs are going to be at the top of his agenda, but what else would you like to see the president address while we've got Xi Jinping's ear, and he's in South Korea with the president meeting face-to-face?
Well, I think the best thing that we can hope for is that all sides decide to go back to, the idea of nation states and sovereign borders and staying out of other countries' internal struggles and keeping them out of ours. I would like to see the end of lobbying in America, making it illegal, particularly for foreign countries, to have lobbyists as they do all over this nation, particularly in D.C. and New York. And frankly, I think that it should be about get your people out of our country, stop the nonsense, taking back the farmland, tripling down on, when they steal our intellectual property or whatever. And most of all, we have to start looking at the Belt and Road Initiative for what it is and countering it. And also making sure that Xi Jinping and Putin and everyone, every world leader comes to a different place and a different conclusion, because frankly, the entire UN model, the international banking model, all of this stuff is failing. It has been terrible for humanity. It has been impossible for peace since the whole model of the international banking and international organizations is endless war for profit and in reconstruction. So for me, I just would like to see us go back to sovereign nation states communicating directly with one another without intermediate bodies, and an opening up of the supply chain and supply lines that benefit the countries the most. I frankly think that Trump, Xi, and Putin will come to a place, God willing, if they're allowed and not sabotaged over and over, where we can forge a better path forward of cooperation without intervention, without our internal problems being affected or influenced by Chinese money and Chinese goals, and frankly, vice versa. So for me, I think that the course for freedom ahead is really about redefining what international order looks like and what sovereign nation states can do if they take their power and their money and everything away from these intermediary international institutions and banks and start dealing one-on-one with each other. That is my hope. And frankly, at this point, like I always say, George Washington left us with his farewell address that was the best case scenario for America. In 1913, the Federal Reserve started the infiltration, and we are not a free country right now until we get the international organizations, particularly the banks and their tentacles, out of our country, and that includes China's tentacles, since they're at the top of the United Nations in terms of influence and power, and that includes all of the tentacles of the United Nations. So I think if we solve getting these tentacles out of the United States of America, we can do a lot more going forward in terms of peace and cooperation worldwide.
Yeah, and Mel, before you go, because I wanted to make sure we talked about this as two New Yorkers. Yesterday we saw there was an ICE raid going on over in Canal Street, and the lefties who were there, they're not protesters, they were rioters. They came with their masks, right, and they were trying their very best to go after ICE agents. Several ICE agents apparently were assaulted, as the DHS tells me now. They just provided us with statements saying that there were four rioters who have been arrested. One of them even used their car to cut off a driveway to prevent ICE from going in and making these arrests. You followed the money on here. Obviously, you know that this isn't like an organic gathering of individuals, that a lot of this is being funded by those that hate us. Real quick, because I know you've got a show to prepare for, but I wanted to get your take on these ICE raids, because, again, they're using this and they're targeting these agents. I mean, I was able to even exclusively go to DHS first and let them know their agents were actually doxxed and put on the dark web, their addresses, their phone numbers. We found over 1,000 of them online. Just your reaction to who is actually behind all of this and funding it.
Well, again, it's the same as Riot Inc., which Seamus Bruner told Donald Trump. Again, they are trying to collapse us from inside, particularly what's going on in New York City. I mean, I lived there most of my life. I've been to Canal Street and the fake bags and everything. That is a Chinese operation, okay? It has always been a Chinese operation. So what is going on there? I know Savannah reported on it. It's been going on for decades, but now they're emboldened because they don't get arrested. But again, that is a Chinese operation that is putting all of the fake goods on the street and Canal Street and all of that. In the meantime, we have to start taking it very seriously what is happening. These are not protesters. These are shock troops. These are funded by the same money, the same people. Some of that money foreign, but a lot of that money is the controlled demolition of America that I talk about all the time, because the globalists are all in on Agenda 2030 and America no longer. This is the war on the nation state. They no longer want the United States of America, or frankly any country, to have borders or national sovereignty. So the more they can break us down, the better. I just think that they should arrest them all and put them in jail and turn this around, because frankly, it's not that difficult. And Donald Trump, listen, if he has to call the Insurrection Act, I know how everyone feels about it, especially libertarians and all of that. I see a lot of people I like very upset about the National Guard, but things that happened over the past 4 years have to be understood. It's not just helping ICE with the National Guard. There are cartels. There are cells all over this country. Weapons were coming through the border. Jihadis were coming through the border, and they all knew it, and most of them were moved into the blue cities so that it would give the illusion that Trump was acting like a dictator when he had to bring in the National Guard and resources to help get them out. But really what is happening is an extraction operation, and you get the lowest hanging fruit, and then you trace that money from them. That's, it should be a straight up Mafia RICO case, because that's what we're dealing with, a international mafia that is trying to destroy America from within so that we surrender our national sovereignty, because without that, they cannot have Agenda 2030, and that has to be our goal. So, again, these are shock troops, as it has happened in Mao's China and Hitler's Germany in the Bolshevik Revolution. It's the same thing, and frankly, the more of them we can put in jail, the better. While the no bail, no jail continues in New York, we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, goodbye, New York, because frankly, it's really disturbing, but a guy that has only been here since 2017 is a Muslim Brotherhood socialist, and frankly, a millionaire that has never held a job, is absolutely on track to win in New York City, and from that point on, I don't know what's going to happen there. In the meantime, they should try to get as many of these people off the street, because they will be empowered and emboldened by Mamdani to triple down. He wants to get rid of police and have basically shock troops on the street, or, you know, community organizers like Obama wanted. Well, who do you think they're going to be? They're not going to be the good guys. So this is important to take care of this now before Mamdani gets in office and empowers them even more.
Yeah, that's what I fear, though. And I think you played a clip earlier in the show of President Trump calling out Mamdani as being a communist. And, you know, he just wants his hands off all of this because he knows what's going to happen. This guy is going to win. And I said it from the beginning. I don't think President Trump should even weigh in on this election, because the hatred that these lefties have for President Trump is what actually might be the energy.
It might actually be the trigger. Yeah, that's why I call it a psyop. The entire thing, it's like straight out of Goebbels. They hear Donald Trump's name and they trigger straight to chaos and craziness and insanity and irrationality. You can't deal with it. But the bottom line for New York City is goodbye, New York City. And it's very sad, because when you look at who's voting for him, it's all these people that claim to be like altruistic, left-wing, like champions for women and champions for equality and all of that. Well, they are entering into the danger zone. I don't know what's going to happen to New York, but it is going to be devastating for not just America, but for the entire world. And frankly, I don't know how somebody who never held a job could possibly be running the most powerful and thriving city, or used to be, in the world. But we are going to see something really bad. So the more Trump can do to clean out the shock troops and the paid protesters in New York City before Mamdani empowers them, the better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to keep our eye on that race. It's obviously a very important one. And sadly, I do think this is going to be a massive loss for the country. So we'll keep our eye on it. But Mel Kay, I want to thank you for all the incredible work you do. You're the author of Americans Anonymous, which is a great book over on Amazon right now. And you are also the host of the Mel Kay Show. So if you're on Rumble, or just give her a follow on X. That's how you guys stay in touch.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mel.
You know how that goes. Thank you, my friend. See you soon. Appreciate it.
See you soon. Thank you for joining me, of course. Folks, a lot going on in the world today. Let me just break down news that we told you a little while ago. I'll start it off first with the ICE arrest of a fugitive from El Salvador. They have just recently arrested this man who is apparently on the most wanted individuals list as a leader of MS-13 in El Salvador. This was a man who El Salvador was pursuing and looking for. He was here in the U.S. ICE has since detained him. Ismael Enrique Mendoza Flores, try to say that, of course. These names are insane. But again, this is somebody who was wanted. He was a part of the Salvadorian National Police Most Wanted Gang Members Program. They were looking for him, and apparently he was previously arrested in Virginia. So he is about to be shipped back off to El Salvador. I'm sure he's not going to like the prison so much over there. For right now, it doesn't look like he's going to like it. And he sits in the U.S. and waits. But he's going to be pretty upset when he makes his way back to El Salvador and realize they're not having that crap. And his stay in Virginia was probably the most luxurious he's going to have for the rest of his life. According to authorities, too, he's linked to a murder. And so these allegations will have to find their way into an El Salvadorian courtroom. I also want to talk about some developing news. Mel was just talking about it in New York. Curtis Sliwal, he hosts a show in New York, a radio show specifically. But the billionaire, Kattis Matias, is someone who obviously owns the network. He told Curtis to drop out, and apparently Curtis not liking that too much. And he has since quit, angrily quit, according to New York Post, his gig at 77WABC in a fury argument with the owner of the network. So he's not happy. They're telling him to back down. Statistically, when you look at the polling data that's coming out, I mean, Curtis doesn't have a shot. He lost. It was a landslide. I think he lost. Like Eric Adams was able to garner like 60% of the votes. So Curtis, I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm just saying that it's very obvious that he doesn't have a shot. He's also spoken out about President Trump, I think probably because that would help him a bit given the rage in New York City, maybe he thinks that would help him kind of slide up in the numbers. But again, he's not doing too well. So far, New York's only hope is that Andrew Cuomo stays in the race and Curtis drops out. Because according to the latest polls, that means that Andrew Cuomo would move up about 4 points behind Madani, who is the communist Muslim. And Americans really aren't liking that too much as we sit back and watch that race. So again, it's receiving a lot of attention, and rightfully so, because that's an important one. There's also a new story up right now that I wanted to discuss a bit. Conservative influencer Robbie Starbuck is apparently suing Google over allegations that their AI-powered chatbot is falsely linking him to a sexual assault allegation based on Richard Spencer. Now, they are saying that Starbuck, who's obviously someone who goes after the DEI stuff very heavily, he's had a very successful track record. He's also a friend and a good person, a father, a husband. He's an incredible person who is trying to purge DEI from both our retailers and our top businesses all around the country. He's done a great job at that. But Starbuck is apparently suing and seeking $15 million in damages from Google. The complaint alleges that Google Gemini is inaccurately tying Starbuck to Spencer, who is apparently has a rape allegation against him, I'm guessing. Let's see. Starbuck has accused Gemini, two of these Google's AI program, of inaccurately stating that he's been accused of sexual assault and that he was also a participant at the J6 Capitol protest. So again, Starbuck has never been accused of sexual assault, nor did he attend the Capitol riot. But this is what happens with these AI generated programs, that they actually push false information, these lefties do, and so that it puts out the wrong information. That's why AI is, well, one of the many reasons why AI is so dangerous these days. And so it's good that Robbie Starbuck is pushing back, because again, I don't ever see this to those on the left. Robbie obviously pissing off all the right people through his efforts to purge DEI, and he's become well known for that. He's also an actor, and he also had a congressional run as well. But, you know, this is really important. I'm excited to see that Robbie is fighting back on that front, because defending your name is critical in all of this. And so I appreciate Robbie for getting in the fight and going after Google. That is a massive, massive effort. And I look forward to seeing how that all pans out for Robbie Starbuck. I also want to talk about another story that we were following. It has to do with an illegal Serbian, illegal alien who was driving a truck, a semi-truck, when he allegedly murdered someone. He's been charged since with reckless homicide and criminal recklessness. This individual is someone who apparently wasn't even holding a commercial license at the time. He veered into ongoing traffic and collided with a car, killing its driver at the scene. Now, again, he is unlawfully living in the United States. At the time, he was on a visa at one point, but it expired back in 2011. And so since then, apparently he was previously arrested in Nassau County, New York, for resisting arrest. So again, these are the people that ICE is going after. ICE is trying its best to get a hold of. But sadly, another individual had to lose their life over this illegal. We shouldn't have been in our country in the first place, folks. It's infuriating when we talk about that because, again, these people, like I keep saying it, they're not supposed to be here. They're not supposed to be here. So how many lives could have been saved if we did our damn jobs? We did our damn jobs. Thankfully, I mean, again, President Trump is trying, but limited resources, the government shut down. They've got over 100,000 people applying to become ICE agents, which is great news, but you need the resources to train these individuals. And obviously with the shutdown, you can't fund those resources. And I think that's the bulk of it. You know, when I spoke with Speaker Mike Johnson, he told me that he believes that Chuck Schumer was holding out till the No Kings rally. Well, the No Kings rally has come and gone, and still we don't have any actual discussions underway. So again, I don't know what's happening here. We just have to figure out a way to go around all of this. You know, we had MTG on the show and she outlined a plan where we could just go out there and just go around Democrats. We don't need their support. And that's what she says that we should do. I mean, if they're unwilling to come to the table, maybe that's what you do. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to the Alex Jones store right now because colostrum is back in stock. Buy one tub of colostrum, you get 50% off another supplement, and that's only while supplies last. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. And of course, when you support us over at thealexjonesstore.com. It keeps us up and running and helps fund our next operation. So we appreciate just that. Folks, I wanted to give you kind of a programming note. I will be speaking one-on-one with my good friend, Mr. Mike Benz. He'll be joining me in studio tomorrow. So we look forward to that. And I also wanted to tease, Mike Benz will be joining Alex Jones today as well. So we've got Mike Benz locked in over at InfoWars, and we look forward to having him and hosting him, of course. So many incredible things to talk about with Mike Benz. As many of you know, he has no problem exposing all of the government corruption and where your money's been going, and of course USAID and so much more. So it's an honor to have him on the show, honor to have him over here on InfoWars, and we look forward to the discussion. So that will be on tomorrow's show. So make sure you tune in. Of course, we start at 9 a.m. Eastern time on the American Journal, and we hope you'll join us then as well. So folks, I'll catch you here tomorrow. Alex is up next over on the Alex Jones Show. In the meantime, make sure you stay in touch with us and download the app. Head on over to alexjonesapp.com right now and download the app in case anything happens. That is how you stay in touch with all of our content and get all the information the mainstream media won't tell you about. All right, folks, I'll catch you here tomorrow morning. Alex is next. Thanks for joining us.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I gotta tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.